The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Somebody made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! We'll throw it out!
I want this music out of my head!
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drive me!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday at Gillette Stadium, and I'm back. Sorry about yesterday. No, actually, I heard that Andy did not a bad job hosting. I saw a couple of emails.
I heard that Andy did not a bad job, too.
Did not a bad job. A couple emails saying he was doing okay.
No, it was a pretty good show. Andy was excellent in his hosting duties, so much so I think he should probably step in and do it again the next time.
Yeah. We put out the call. We got our phone calls that we needed. We got them stacked up a few different times.
I was actually in Bristol, and I had a little downtime, so I queued it up on the iPhone and was listening to the show for a little
bit. And was the stream fine?
Stream was fine for me.
Okay. Because we still get random people that complain about the stream.
Yeah, same thing happened last week when I was doing it. It was getting emails in the middle of the show.
I don't know if it's a
could be their internet provider or something, right?
It could be.
I mean, because if it loses its signal, it's going
to. But, you know, like if the person's saying, well, I listen to other things, same place, similar time, and it doesn't happen, then
I have a weird problem at home where I YouTube videos on my cell phone or on my iPad don't work very well. Like they'll stop and but everything else, like I can go to ESPN or any other video that's not YouTube,
right,
and it watches it fine.
Well, the YouTube, I noticed the agreement between Apple and YouTube kind of fell apart, but with the next update they're going to improve that. So that could be part of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's my point is, you know, even the same internet connection, different things can work differently on it.
Right.
And we don't have a huge number of people complaining.
No.
It's small.
But like I said, I was using it.
But I don't want anybody complaining that they can't hear us.
Right. No. Sure.
We need to be
heard. All the other complaints, you just go right ahead. But if you can't hear us, I mean, come on.
Well, I had somebody email me the other day, or actually emailed us. And he's a subscriber, and he was complaining because he was getting his paper on Thursdays.
Oh, I saw that, and I'm thinking, you're doing great.
I wrote him back, and I said, just so you know, that's really good.
Aside from Thursday night games, you're doing just fine.
All right.
And in all seriousness, I mean, it doesn't even get into the mail until
Monday. Night,
Monday, yeah.
Monday.
The earliest, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, just
so. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots, as we always do here on this PFW in Progress show. Paul was on with Felger and Maz yesterday.
Did you hear any of that?
I didn't, but then I turned it on at around 5:20. Did you get into an argument with them? Because one of the emailers, one of the callers said, you know, Felger and Maz.
How could you ask me that? I get in an argument with them every single
but
week.
Felger, a caller called in. And was saying, you know, I love your show, Felger Maz. You guys are so much better.
Guy was all over me.
Yeah, the guy was, he said, it's so much better than the other show. You know, you guys call it like it is. You stood up to that Perillo.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah. Standing up to that Perillo. You know, I was just talking to Andy about this. It's funny. They must have had their meds or something this week. So instead of just saying everything sucks, which is normally the MO, it was Felger was telling me, you know, I've seen this look before out of the Patriots. And I said, what look? He goes, no, don't you just see that look? I said, you saw that look on Sunday? Like, I just thought it was a weird week to make that declaration. I don't think that was the Patriots' best game of the year on Sunday. As I wrote after the game and we talked about on Tuesday, great effort by the defense. I think for the first time really all year, you could say you won a game largely because of your defense. But that look, I thought that was a little bit of a stretch. So evidently they stood up to me because they think that was a great win. And I said, well, what did you think of Houston beating Jacksonville in a shootout? Oh, exposed Houston as frauds. Their defense, I said, well, no, it's the same thing. Houston was thought to be a team that didn't have the offense to keep up with its defense, and they needed to keep teams down, and they couldn't win a shootout. And they won a shootout. And the Patriots were thought to be a team that was all offense, and if the other team could keep up with them offensively, they can't win, right? Because if you keep the Patriots down like Baltimore in the low 20s, if you keep it close, they're going to lose.
Right.
And the Patriots won. The Patriots showed they could win another way. Jacksonville showed they could win another way. Right. I mean, Houston showed against Jacksonville they could win another way. And I was an idiot, you know, because you know, then they started making fun of sunshine.com. It was cloudy.com. And I said, no, it's reality.com is what it is.
Actually, everything but patriots.com.
Yeah, if you're going to get Fred's moniker, it's everything but patriots.com. So that's how it went. And then a guy calls up, and basically they stood up to me, quote unquote, by saying that they think the Patriots are going to win this game. And I kind of think Houston is.
Oh, do
you
really?
You know,
we'll get to that later, but really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See, wait a minute. Are you actually shocked?
No. Yeah, I am a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? I'm a little shocked at myself.
I don't know how you can be shocked with the best team in football being picked to beat the Patriots.
No, that I'm picking them. That's all. Because two weeks ago I would have been picking the Patriots
because
2 or 3 weeks ago.
You've been saying that, and I agree that this is a bad spot for Houston, 3 games in a row.
I agree with all that. You know, I think that the biggest thing that I thought about the we'll get to it, you know, as the show goes on, but the biggest vulnerability I saw with Houston, I don't think the Patriots are as equipped right now to exploit it. That's kind
of
why I sort of changed.
Because
you're right, Fred. No, because of the lack of weapons on offense.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah.
I think with Gronkowski out and even Edelman, who, you know, I'm not a huge Edelman fan, but it didn't provide you another option. I think Brandon Lloyd's going to need to do something this week, and I'm not sure he can.
And that is a concern because, you know, I do think at full strength, they could combat that pass rush, but you know they had trouble last week, and it's
not
going to get any better.
I'm not expecting JJ Watt to take the game over because I think that the Patriots generally don't allow that to happen.
It's not just him. I mean,
but he's a big part of it.
He is a big part of it.
He's the focal point of it. The core. I saw today he added another sack in a rescore.
But you know, last week against
the ball has been respotted.
He had a sack on Wednesday. You know, that's how good he is.
Last week against the Dolphins, it really wasn't just Cameron Wake, even though he did cause trouble, but.
But it starts. You know, it overflows from there. It's a trickle down.
Yeah,
effect.
So that is a concern. But I have a feeling that the Patriots are you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if they beat them by 3 touchdowns.
I'd be stunned.
You know, because once things start to get a little out of hand, then they take advantage.
I'm with Paul. At their best, I think there's a chance they could beat them by 3 touchdowns because you're Green Bay. You have all your weapons. You spread them out and you take it to them. I don't think they're at their best right now.
Yeah.
As you saw last week, 3/4 of his attempts went to two basically slot receivers.
I really think they're going to have to establish the run, and that's not what they do best, but I think they're going to
have
to.
And it is what Houston stops best.
Right.
But if they do that and they run the ball effectively, then they're not going to win by 3 touchdowns.
No, they won't. They won't.
That's, you know, that's part of it. And you're right by reading the tea leaves, Fred. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was definitely ramping myself up to think the Patriots were going to win this game. But, you know, the Gronkowski injury now coupled with Lloyd's sort of lack of just involvement at all. You go back to that Jets game, the first Jets game, when he had all those opportunities to make plays down the field. Since then, his targets have been basically cut in half, which is another thing we talked about on that segment yesterday. And I'm not sure that they have another guy. You know, is Dante Stallworth going to be the guy? I don't know. I don't think, you know, so I think that Andy's been saying it, you know, you spread Houston out the way Green Bay did. You sort of pick and choose your spots, and Green Bay has a terrible offensive line. They were able to give Rodgers enough time to find those matchups. I don't know if the Patriots have four or five different options the way Green Bay did that night with Jordy Nelson and James Jones and JerMichael Finley. I'm not sure that everybody's there.
Yeah.
Does Brandon Lloyd have a "that's why we brought you here" game in him?
Well, if he does, then I think the Patriots will win.
Me too. I mean, if he has an impact game, I'm pretty sure you're going to get your seven or eight catches from both Hernandez and Welker. If you get that impact guy on the outside to make some plays down the field, but I don't know that I'm confident at this point he has it in him.
Well, the good news is that Mankins and Connolly were at practice at least yesterday.
Walkthrough.
Yeah, it was a walkthrough.
Oh, was that right?
Not a practice.
Oh, okay.
Pump the brakes.
All right. I know
we're not allowed
that.
To say that.
The reports I heard on the radio driving home were that they were
Well, they were at the practice they held yesterday, but because of the Monday night game, yesterday was a walkthrough, no injury report, and so you got to be careful what you
and
judge.
And Chandler Jones was at that practice, too.
Good news on him, just sort of anecdotally, jumping up in the air, playing quarterback, running around.
Yeah, Felger asked
energy.
Me, he goes, could he play quarterback? He looks like he throws the ball pretty well. So, obviously, that B-roll was making the rounds yesterday.
It's a pretty athletic family.
Yeah.
So
I think he'll be back.
You know, they're going to have to get Shane Vereen involved.
Sure.
Somebody
else.
Yeah. Brandon
I believe they will not win this football game if half of Brady's completions and three-quarters of attempts go to the two guys they went to.
You know, you mentioned Bolden. I can't see him. You know, it's the same thing with Tlaib. He's been out of football for 5 weeks. So.
Yeah, but it's a little different with a running back.
Yeah.
I think that's a position. As long as he's in shape, so at whatever point the knee healed, if he had, you know, whatever that window is, 2 weeks to get in shape after he got, if he's healthy, you know, the health is still a concern, but if he got healthy and was in shape, I think you can come in and carry the ball 8 times, 10 times and have a successful game.
Yeah.
At running back, it's just you either have it or you don't.
But I'll tell you, that wide receiving position is
you were right. You were right early in the year, worried about weapons.
Yeah.
Took a broken foot, a broken arm.
Well, right. And to me, it's all about the arm.
A torn hamstring.
Right, if Gronkowski was playing, I wouldn't be worried about the weapons. Let's put it that way.
And there have been rumblings of rumors that he could play.
Rumblings of rumors?
Yeah, I don't really know how to term it. I don't want to start like this
Whispers.
Huge thing. Whispers. Is
no,
a,
we, got,
just kinda,
we got emails about it yesterday during
I
the
actually,
show.
Yeah, I didn't bring it up until somebody brought it up, and I had kind of heard whispers that, you know, maybe he got his cast off, maybe there's a chance, and then somebody else had clearly heard it elsewhere. And
would you?
No.
Play him?
No. No chance.
No.
It's not worth it. We've already learned once this year with our important tight end pass catcher that you rush him and then it hurts you down the road. I want him healthy for January, just like I want Mankins healthy for January. Yeah. I want all my all pros on the field in January.
And I might be crazy, but I feel the bye isn't as important this year as it has been in past years.
I think
for some reason.
Important.
You know, I just
because I'm someone who believes they can't beat good teams consecutively. Like they could struggle having to win. So you want fewer of those.
Yeah.
I only want to have to play
Plus,
Denver
wanna,
and Houston. I don't want to have to play Pittsburgh, Denver, Houston,
and then have two of them be
on
the road.
But
so,
but
even that is
I
less.
Think my point
I'm
is,
more important. The bye to me is more important than the home field.
I think my point is, if not playing some of these guys and losing a bye means full strength.
Oh,
wild
yeah,
that's, card
that's
weekend,
a different argument.
Full strength is always
then, the
most
I
important
think that's
thing.
More important
yes.
than the bye.
Full
yeah,
strength is all, but I'm not sure
there because I don't think without the guys, I don't think you can beat them at home.
Right.
Right.
You might be able to win on the road with the guys.
Yeah, so
that's
I'm
a different
looking
argument.
More at that. I'm health, but, in, you know, is more important right now to me than the number two seed.
I
but
agree,
it's, but
it's always
like,
more important to me. But I don't know if it's black and white.
It's
like,
not.
Yeah,
like
you just kind of feel your way through.
Rob Gronkowski has a broken arm. He can either play with it or he can't. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, we have to have him back because we need the bye, so he's going to play with a broken arm.
Right.
No, he's not going to play with a broken arm. You know, he's not going to play until it's at least, you know, somewhat healed.
But I'm even thinking about the offensive lineman, Mankins. And
I would wait on him totally.
Yeah.
I would definitely wait till 100%
I definitely would wait on that
because
I really don't think that – I mean, I think Donald Thomas and, you know, you guys will laugh. Because
Paul talked to Donald Thomas. He's a Donald Thomas fan
I'm writing
now.
About Donald Thomas this week. And
he's done well.
I made him out
he's
to –
very well. Hey.
I made him out to be, you know, the Steve Hutchinson.
John Hanna.
But, you know, Vollmer, we got to keep an eye on and, you know.
A big eye.
Yeah. So – it's not just Gronkowski that I'm worried about going into the playoffs.
I agree. Health is the most important thing,
yeah.
Especially for this team.
And I know Belichick will never admit to that. And you know, you just play
like
but,
a Chandler Jones
I think
would
you
be
do
one
have,
of those guys.
Part of his job right now is managing that.
Chandler Jones would be one of the guys of what you're talking about, Fred. Yeah. Like maybe he can come back this week. Maybe he can. I think he looks like he's ready based on the stuff that you guys talked about from yesterday. But let's say that he was sort of 50-50 this week, and maybe you said, you know what, I know it's a big game, and I know we can get seeding here, but let's make sure that he's 100%. You know, whereas if he comes back this week, maybe he's iffy, and then maybe you're re-aggravated, and now it's another 3 weeks.
Right.
That might hurt you. So he could be a guy, but like I said, Gronkowski, and he made this point yesterday. We were talking in the locker room yesterday with Moose, the camera guy from Comcast, and he sort of talked about the bye, you know, with all the injuries, you know, the bye is really important. And Andy made the point of, but the injuries that they have are kind of like timetable injuries. You know, it's a broken bone. Like, if you have an extra week, it's either healed or it's not healed.
Right.
You know, it's not
right.
something.
Like Branch. If Branch were important, he would be one. The hamstring. Okay, I got to, do I bring him back? Do I give the hamstring a week? But he's got a broken arm with seven pins in it.
Well, they say the bones, you know, you don't want to break a bone, but it's a much better injury to have than...
Mankins would fall under probably weeks could matter. You know, he might be able to play this week, but then you might not have him next, because he's done that already this year various times.
He came back once, and then he went back out for, you know, a week, and then he has been out for 3 weeks now. So he's been dealing with a lot of stuff, Mankins.
Now, can Thomas play both sides? Are you comfortable with him moving over?
Well, when he played right guard,
he struggled.
He really was bad against Arizona.
But is that just because he had a tough matchup?
According to the Boston Globe, he's a more natural left guard.
Other than
I didn't really ask him about that.
Other than an easy win where the Patriots roll, I think, to me, the best win I could think of is where, you know, we understandably have trouble against their defense, but our defense keeps them under 17 points and we win. That I think if we came out of a game like that where we won like 21-16, 21-14, I think that would be a huge win for the Patriots.
I could not agree more. I think that would be unbelievable.
Especially after last week. Now you got two in a row. Yeah. One against a bad
team
and
one against a good team.
Now all of a sudden you're saying, hey, maybe this defense has turned the corner.
Now, obviously not a people will come out of that worried about the offense, but we know why they would have had trouble.
Right.
You know,
you can point to things. Don't worry, Gronk will be back.
Right.
You know, I agree with that.
You never know how the game's going to unfold. Maybe it would take six turnovers for Houston to only score 12 points or whatever, but Houston hasn't turned the ball over a lot. You know, they've been right up there with the Patriots in terms of giveaways. They don't take it away as often as New England does, but they've been almost as good as the Patriots in terms of protecting the football. So if you were to force three or four more turnovers against a team that protects it really well, I agree with you, Fred. That would be a terrific way to win. I mean, obviously, any win would be great, but if you could dial up your perfect scenario, I think that might be it.
So this is a big game. I mean, ESPN is expecting this to be the highest-rated Monday night game of the season.
Really?
Yep.
So. And I'm sure it will be, just because it will be.
I get an email that tells me every Monday that the previous game was the highest-ranked ever.
In some category.
I would be expecting that as well this week.
Kind of forgot about that, the whole ESPN factor and the Gruden bus and the Gruden grinder and all being here this week. Yeah. This guy.
So you can go up to him and tell him he's retired in his act.
At 4 o'clock on Football Nation, they'll have Mike Tirico on the show.
So this guy, Tirico.
Today. I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that at 4 o'clock.
Well, I don't know if it was like some special thing on...
Game day?
Yeah, Monday.
Oh.
I didn't realize. Was he on the radio?
Yeah, on Patriots.com
on the call, or is he going to be in studio?
Well, a lot of times when the networks come in, they make available their broadcasters.
This guy, Dante Scarnecchia, I tell you, this guy takes these guys off the street, and he could be a focal point.
Marcus Allen.
Speaking of Gruden, did you hear that the Oakland PR guy is very, very upset
that
the rumor was floated on the day that Dennis Allen's father died, that Gruden to Oakland was a rumor, and I guess it was Hub Arkush from Pro Football Weekly. Started it.
He was really mad.
So that guy's mad at him.
But that's the loose cannon guy, right? The Raiders PR guy.
Oh,
he's the same guy, right?
Yeah.
With his pot smoking buddy and all
he's
that.
He's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
I can see his point, though.
No, I do. On the surface, I absolutely do. But I on the other side of it, I don't think that a guy is reporting a rumor on the day.
Teddy Bruschi's dad on the TV? Oh, you missed him.
I don't think you're thinking of it that way.
I don't blame Hub. If he gets information that there is something tying the Raiders to John Gruden, it's his job as a reporter to report it.
You can't hold it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't really think that that's something, if I, as a PR guy, I would lose it over.
No.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a couple calls, shall we?
We shall.
Jeff is in Vegas. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
He's changed up.
He's no good.
He doesn't like getting beat up by all the fans.
I'm sorry. Hi, how are you?
Much better. Much better.
First of all, breaking news, Olivier from France via Virginia is on his way to Vegas as we speak, and we may take in the Eye Candy Dancer show this weekend.
Oh, nice. PFW, bringing people together to see breasts.
Exactly. And I think I like New England, but an interesting way to might take a look at it is take the Patriots and the over, or the over. That way, if it's a shootout, I don't think they can stop Andre Johnson, especially the way he's been playing.
Well, especially this whole play-action thing, I'm really concerned for. You've struggled in the middle of the field. You've struggled with coverage from linebackers. You've struggled at times with the communication between corners and safety. You've struggled with your safeties biting on stuff. That seems to me could be and they're going to run it. They're going to give Arian Foster his 20 carries, but some of those are going to be play-action fakes, and all of a sudden he's waggling out and Owen Daniels, and that to me is the game. How the Patriots defend the play-action pass, to me, is how they win or lose this football game.
And Foster is very scary. If they hit him with a little dump off, I mean, that guy is really can get to the outside despite his size. I mean, he looks good out there as always.
Yeah, matchup with Gerard Mayo, his former Volunteer teammate.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Also, I know you guys caught Brady on EEI. I thought it was interesting how Paul's saying amazing, and you said the big hands, how he doesn't fumble more. What about when he says he's callous to taking big hits? I mean, that's a pretty you know, you can say he's a metrosexual and a pretty boy, but you know, he can take the hit.
Oh, he's the toughest pretty boy I've ever seen. That's the strange part about it. He's as tough as they come until he puts on his postgame sweater and hat.
I like it when he gets hit, he gets pissed.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Well, he has I think what everyone has always talked about, the fashion and some of the metrosexual, he grew up in a house of girls.
Right.
I think that is part of it.
Right.
But the competitor and the tough guy athlete, that's not fake. Remember that time I keep going back to this. He was working out, I think, with Harold Nash in the tunnel, throwing punches. They were doing some sort of boxing workout. And for anybody who thinks Tom Brady is soft, the right cross he threw would knock down anybody I've ever seen. So, I mean, he's a tough guy. He's not the sissy that some of the magazine covers try to paint him as.
Right.
Yeah, I mean he's headbutting Daniel Graham back in the day.
Yeah. Do that in this day and age, and you got to go sit in a dark room.
Speaking of headbutting, you see Vrabel headbutted a guy with a helmet on, and he got stitches down his head.
I'm not surprised.
What an idiot.
We got the picture on the internet.
Now that's fine.
All right, in any case, guys, I'm looking forward to the game. This is a huge one. I'll do the Jeff in Vegas pick on the pregame social Monday night.
Monday night, 6 p.m. Be here.
All right, Jeff, thanks.
Tell Olivier we said hello.
Speaking, Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator for the Texans.
Yep.
What challenges does he pose? I mean, how well does he know Belichick and what Belichick likes to do on offense, and how well does he know Brady from his days in Buffalo and
San Diego?
Yeah.
Dallas. They've crossed paths with him, right?
Yeah, crossed paths in Dallas, yep.
So, there's a little bit of a track
record
here. And
he's a good defensive coordinator.
No question about it. And he has the talent to deploy.
Yeah.
For the most part. You know, I know they have some injuries, and I thought it was interesting they signed Stanford Rout.
Yeah,
it's a veteran signing.
They lost the other guy. I forget the name of the guy who was serving as their nickelback. And I don't if Joseph doesn't play, I don't want to be like Andy and I'll make seven picks. I'll stick with my pick. But if Joseph doesn't play, I could see the Patriots. Doesn't matter if they don't have a lot of different options. I think they'll struggle.
Okay.
But I think the guy that was the nickelback, Martin, I want to say.
Derek Martin.
I don't have. I wish
Mike?
I brought the depth chart
Ricky?
Down here, but whoever, he's out, and that's why they signed. That shows you a little bit of desperation they have.
Oh, certainly.
Secondary.
But he's also a guy that, as a veteran, you never know if he's going to come in and play a role. I mean, an Aqib Talib or I know it's a little different, but McKenzie in New Orleans,
oh,
a couple years, you know,
it's a great one.
Guys that come in and they just, you know, you count on he's a veteran. He knows enough to get out there and make some plays, and he's sort of an unknown for the offense.
He played great that night, remember?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you have to keep an eye. That's not just a practice squad type promotion where you go, who cares? I mean, it's a veteran guy that, you know, who knows? Could be a factor. Two quick side topics off our enemy over at ProFootballTalk.com, Mike Florio.
He's your enemy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my enemy...
We back you up because you're our teammate.
My enemy over at Pro Football Talk, two things coming off there. That whole story about the Madame or whatever who's going to reveal the NFL names.
Yeah.
A giant name and a NFL league management name.
Yeah.
I find that story fascinating, wondering who that could be.
Roger Goodell?
I mean, that'd be fascinating, right? I mean,
yes, it would be.
And I highly doubt it.
I doubt it, too. Yeah. But I wonder if it could be anybody we know of, like, you know, Corey Rush or Greg Aiello or any of these random, you know, there's a circle of league names that we either deal with or at least know the name.
Yep.
And then the Giants player I find fascinating just because, you know, it's a player. I actually wonder, would these guys consider, they're taping next week, it's on Dr. Phil, and it's,
yeah.
Do you just come out and say it's going to be me? You know, I made a mistake.
Preemptive strike?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Something about, you know, the Rick Pitino own it. Well, you lie, it's part of your future.
Unless you know that there's just not just me and it's a chance it won't
be. You crossing your fingers
right.
That it's him?
Right.
Yeah, I guess you do always have the chance that you're not the guy and you would therefore be putting yourself out there for no reason. But even then, you know you're part of it. So even if she doesn't name you on Dr. Phil, now you're just waiting for her next publicity stop when she says, I'm going to pull out another big name. And it's just kind of own up to it. Take it.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the story. I didn't read this Time Magazine story from Roger Goodell, but about the kickoffs, getting rid of it.
We'll talk about that. He has an interesting. It's actually Greg Schiano's idea.
Right. Interesting that guy wants people to not get hurt. Diving at people's knees meals.
I'm not ruling it out. We'll talk about a little later the details of it.
Yeah, I find that interesting.
It's not. I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
You jacked up for a big game?
Very jacked up. Kind of nervous, a little anxious, but I heard you earlier. I don't think we'll win by 3 touchdowns, man, even if we had it.
Oh, I don't either. I don't either. Yeah.
That's far-fetched because the way our secondary played against Miami past Sunday with Best and everybody running passes, I'm more worried about Andre Johnson like the previous caller and the other wide receivers just stepping up now, you know, just running by us because we always struggle. We're big and fast receivers. We always have.
And I will, interesting, first of all, Aqib Talib has never played against Andre Johnson. He said that yesterday. And I also thought very interesting that Aqib Talib owned up to, you know, how's your performance been? And he said, I have a long list of things that I need to do better. I can tell you that much, a long list of things. So he is owning up to the fact that he has not played well through his first 3 games here.
Well, part of getting better is knowing what you have to improve.
Admit you have a problem.
Yeah.
And I also agree with Andy. Somewhere down the line, man, Lord got to step up. You know, I heard Tom Brady on Wee Monday talking about, you know, being Mr. Patriot, saying that he was open a couple of times and he should have hit him, but he didn't, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's just being Mr. Patriot because I don't think Lord's been open as many times as he thinks.
Lloyd was open half the catches he caught.
He says he looks at the film and we see that he's open, and I probably have to look at him a little bit.
So why is he not looking at him? Yeah. Has he blackballed him?
That's the big question.
Has he dark horsed him?
You know, when it comes to crunch time, he's going to go and look at guys that he trusts.
Right.
And I think that's.
So let me ask you another question. Okay, since we signed Dante, I know he ain't going to start right off. He's probably going to do a couple snaps here and there because he's probably out of shape or whatever. You don't think he'd make a little bit more of a difference? I know we're going to miss Edelman, which I'm going to have to admit that. But I guess if we ever go deep, we got somebody got to
look. If they can get the ball in his hands, I think he can make a difference. The problem with him is he's had some dropsies. We saw it early in training camp and maybe not quite the speed he had. But I think if they can get him open and he can catch the ball, I think at that point, yards after catch, he can make a difference.
And he certainly wasn't any worse in terms of separation than Lloyd has been getting separation.
Yeah.
So, and he knows the offense. He was here in the summer.
It's just holding on to the ball is all I'm worried about.
Plus, he's a friend of the show.
Yeah, we like Dante.
The rookie we re-signed. He's just a practice squad guy. He's, you know, they ain't gonna never use him in the game.
Who that?
Ebert. They ain't gonna never use him in the game.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I would think that. Yeah, probably would have to be more of an emergency than even now.
And I wish we had signed a route instead of letting Houston get him because we need somebody on the other corner too.
Oh, Dennard. Dennard's been okay, and Kyle Arrington's coming off his best stretch of games in the slot of late.
In the slot. I saw him got burnt Sunday against the Dolphins.
Hey, everybody gets burnt every once in a while.
Yeah, not a lot, though. He played pretty well Sunday.
He played really well Sunday. If you didn't think he played well, then this whole secondary needs to be taken out behind the barn.
Yeah, I think Hartline was the problem on Sunday more than Bess.
Yeah, because Hartline was burning Tlaib, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? Yeah.
You are very negative, Eldridge.
All right, Eldridge, thanks for the call.
See you, Eldridge.
He's a good caller for Andy and I, though, because he really makes us...
he makes us positive.
He makes us into Johnny Sunshine.
Let's go to Jose in Maryland. Hey, Jose.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, wanted to call back, you know, so I didn't seem like I only call it once a year.
That's okay.
Good to have you. Let's make this
you
a
call
a
whenever
thing.
You want.
Once
but...
is better than never.
Right, all right. No, but it's just a couple things I wanted to ask. You guys mentioned that I don't watch college football, but you guys mentioned before, well, I've heard that Devon Wilson's played corner and safety?
Both, right.
Yes,
that's
in college,
correct.
Yes.
So what's that formation? Because I know every formation, like defensive formation, has like a numbered title, you know, like 3-3-5 or something like that, right? Or 4-3.
Yeah, for the most part.
What if we play our four defensive line, right? Our normal four defensive line, Brandon Spikes, Gerard, and not have Dante, but have Tavon. What do you guys think of Tavon checking Owen Wilson one-on-one? Like, how does he look playing man? Because I'm pretty sure he's been playing zone every time you got deep, right? But yeah. We've never seen him play man on anyone. And I'd rather have him. I've seen Brandon Spikes play man on some, like, you know, tight ends and stuff. And, like, I was just thinking, what do you guys think about that? And, like,
yeah, that would be a version of the quote-unquote big nickel with him kind of labeled as a safety here. He would become your nickel guy instead of Arrington or one of those guys. I'll be honest, I don't think I've seen enough man coverage from him to say I have my doubts based on the zone coverage I've seen, which is basically man coverage in a zone. I have my doubts, but it's certainly an option. And I asked Paul about that yesterday. You know, he's big. He's, you know, for a corner, he's big. For a safety, theoretically, he has coverage skills of a corner. So that type of role on paper is good. But now I don't know if it would work on, you know, the field.
And Daniels isn't that all that big, like Owen Daniels?
No.
He's like, what, 6'3", right? So
He's not overly
small
big.
Tight end.
Double up
yeah,
on
I mean, he's
Andre,
a,
he's McCourty a, and Tlaib. I mean, imagine, that's like two corners, right, on Andre. That seems...
As long as their communication is good. If their communication sucks, then their abilities don't really matter.
I don't think that you can get by having Tavon Wilson take out
probably
one guy on the other team. I don't think that's a matchup I want as if I'm the Patriots.
Yeah, and you also don't want – I mean, it's the same old of you don't want to do the same thing every down because pretty much any good offense, good quarterback, good receivers are going to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Now, the doubling Andre Johnson part, I think that you're onto something there. I think you'll see quite a bit of that.
Right. Yeah, we play mostly zone anyway, so it's just the thought.
And then the other question, real quick, would be, you know, if you're going to do that a lot and make that your base defense, well, are they going to be running more? And then how to, you know, the zone questions about Tavon Wilson? How is he a play action pass? How much does he bite on play action pass fakes? We've seen him bite on pass coverage fakes. How would he be if he's out there too many snaps in the play action pass and they're running the ball? So, again, he's a rookie, and all of this is new to him, and that's another concern that would evolve from that type of a scheme.
I didn't see that either.
We don't want to get you all upset.
Sorry.
Here, for all of those issues, listen.
Back?
Yeah, for all the issues that Andy just talked about, and I think that those are all very legitimate, I expect Houston to score points. Houston's defense has just as many issues trying to stop the Patriots.
Sure.
So this is gonna... Chandler coming back, right?
I think Chandler
Should
Jones
be.
Will be back, yeah.
Yeah, so with Rob, you know, Love and Wolfork, I mean, we should be stacked up front, you know, for the run, I would think.
I hope so.
My second question was, you guys were there for training camp and all that, and you've seen Stallworth. I'm wondering, like, what is he able to bring to the offense? You know, he's not the same guy we had in 07, but why Stallworth? And, like, you know, why did he get cut in the first place? Like,
I think
I was just curious.
Well, I think he got cut because he just wasn't as good as the guys they kept. You bring him back because he's familiar with the system.
You need him.
You need him. He's mature. You know, he's a maturity. You know, and once he gets the ball in his hands, I think he can do some things with it. You know,
yeah.
So
right. I think he's at the point, and Paul and I have talked about this. I always thought he was a run under it kind of guy. Run under the ball, catch it in a basket, and keep right on running. I think he's lost a little bit on his, you know, 4.19 speed.
Yeah, he's not the same
and
speed.
And now in training camp, we saw him try to run some more outs, try to run some more in cuts, some drags over the middle, and I don't think his hands are all that good. And I don't think he necessarily dropped the ball any more than he would have 5 years ago. He was just doing more things that aren't suited to his skills because he's not the same kind of receiver, in my opinion, at this point. So that's the question. Is he good enough to be a well-rounded receiver and a valuable asset to an offense, or is he still just run under it? And if you think he's run under it, can he run under it? Is he fast enough?
Right.
But all that said, I haven't seen Brandon Lloyd run under it yet either.
Because what we did see them trying to do with Stallworth a lot is, like you said, the drags across the middle, the quick slants.
And I don't think that suits him, actually, you know, Paul, putting the old triangle up and catching the football.
No, I agree, and I've always agreed on that. I don't think that, you know, for a wide receiver, I don't think he has the most natural set of hands. I would say that clearly Belichick decided he was going to get rid of all the veteran receivers in an effort to go a little bit younger, and then he went out and traded for Greg Salas. Right on the eve of the season, I wouldn't necessarily say that the guys they kept were better. I think that they looked at it as a long-term thing and said, we need to develop a young receiver. We have these veterans, and we could probably get them back. And he was right because he had an opportunity to get any of the veterans back that he wanted. He brought Branch back. He brought Stallworth back, and Gaffney's been available virtually the entire year.
Gaffney had a two-game, and thanks for the call, Jose, a two-game suspension?
Yeah.
For what?
Something like years ago. I believe it was a driving – something that just sort of cleared the process.
Okay. All right.
It's an old issue.
Okay. All right.
But it's a current issue in terms of the suspension.
How does a guy get suspended? He's not even in the league.
But, well, he was with Miami, but that's the suspension happened word of the suspension anyway.
And he'd have to serve it.
Right.
So if you sign him, you'd sign him for 3 weeks from now.
Right.
They'd add another person to there.
Extending
these,
our team record.
Roster exemptions. And that's the other thing. Just, I don't know if you're aware of this, and to clear anybody up who's listening, they have one roster spot. You talked about Bolden. Technically, he's exempt from the roster right now, but it kind of feels like maybe they're holding that roster spot that they're just going to activate him for the game. I don't know.
Let's go to Luke in UConn. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Fred. What's going on?
Oh, we're just talking on the phone to you.
Okay. I'm normally a podcast guy, but I figured I'd call in before work.
Sure.
Where do you work? What do you do?
I'm 19, so I freaking stock shelves and stuff.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, every job, just do your job.
Yeah, okay.
Be the best shelf stalker you can be.
Kurt Warner used to stock shelves, and then he won an MVP.
Can you throw?
Well, I wanted to ask you, Andy and Paul, about when you were talking about Brady being the clear MVP yesterday. So I was looking through the stats and stuff, and, like, it's kind of weird because there's no quarterback that really stands out. Like, Rodgers leads touchdowns and rating, and Stafford leads yards, and Alex Smith leads completion percentage. So, like, I obviously think Brady's the MVP, but I'm kind of a homer. So I was wondering what you see, like, in the stats or just in the – like the eyeball test that tells you Brady's been so much better than Manning, because they're both sort of top five and everything.
Right, and that's part of it. I mean, it's a he's balanced. His rating is high. His touchdowns are low. I mean, his interceptions are low. His touchdowns are up there. You know, I give him credit for what he's doing. I said it yesterday. The old Manning, the albatross of a defense, and having some pressure to score points every week to be a 35 points per game type team. I give him credit for. So you know, you're right. Statistically, there's no one that is light years ahead of everybody else this year.
Yeah, and I would agree with Andy, and the defense reasoning is the one that really is the one that is my number one thing. And it's for a lot of the reasons we used to give Manning MVPs, because I thought he did so much more for his team than the other guys had to. I think Brady has to do right now so much more for his team. But I don't think it's a blowout. I don't think it's a clear thing
now. I think it's hanging in the month.
This guy coming to town Monday night, J.J. Watt, I'd put him in the running.
I said
for
that,
MVP.
And I think that's part of
it. Did you hear that one on EEI this morning?
Right.
What?
I just think, like, I just don't understand, like, how, because I think it's so close, I just think people like Manning more and they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I just find that everyone I know and just the way it sounds, everyone likes Manning better.
Well, I don't know if it's that they like him better. I think the sympathy vote he could get coming
back
from a year off.
Just amazing.
Sort of the comeback player / MVP aspect of it, I think he could get.
Yeah, I don't think it's a like factor, but I absolutely think the sympathy factor of the story of him coming back after being out for a whole year is definitely relevant. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I gotta go, guys. So
okay, go to
stock those shelves.
Thanks, stock
Luke.
Those shelves.
The cost.
But yeah,
on
we
EEI,
talked. To,
what? I just want to real quick. John Tennis had said, "Yeah, another. It's interesting. You have a chance for an offensive MVP in Brady going against a guy on the other side of the ball who's every bit the MVP candidate." And Jerry was just like, "He's not an MVP candidate."
Well,
and John was like, "Well, no. I've been reading some of this stuff. He's getting considered. No one will vote for him. He's not a candidate. No one will vote for him
unless they fall apart. He's getting votes.
I'm like, I don't know how he's going to finish. I mean, like,
probably
what is he
top three.
like he goes like Manti Te'o, he's not going to win it. I'm like, but he's going to finish second.
And he's one is of only three people
in
invited.
The Heisman. I mean, is that not relevant?
I mean, on a year, they generally have like five guys there, and there's only three this year. That so, tells you he is clearly in the top three.
So evidently, if J.J. Watt doesn't actually win the MVP, he's not a candidate, according to Jerry.
Well, John Madden is on every Wednesday on Sirius.
He's still alive.
NFL, yeah, and they were talking about MVP, and he agrees with me. He believes that MVP should not be voted on until the season, you know, including the playoffs. That should be a factor, you know, in terms of how valuable were you.
I will relent on that if we eliminate anybody who doesn't make the playoffs from consideration.
Well, why would you have to
That's
do
fair.
That?
Because they don't get a chance to play in the playoffs to further their to bolster their things. So
no,
they're out.
No, I don't think they necessarily have to be out, out. But
how
I
many
think
people get legitimate consideration not making the playoffs?
Oh, most do because your team did better, and so you,
right.
You know that
I think most of the time your argument, the argument that you're valuable is the reason you're in the postseason.
Exactly.
Is in dot dot dot.
Right.
I just
right.
think it's a regular season.
But I don't think anyone gets eliminated because I think. But I think you take the playoffs into consideration.
I think the danger there is like too short a span. Too
yeah. So one
you know,
bad game is gonna,
yeah.
You know
Brady threw two picks and they lost in the first round. He's out. Well, no, he got him there with no defense.
Yeah, that's
well,
the
Madden
way
called
I feel
the playoffs the last quarter of the season. You know, and why would you eliminate the last quarter of the season in your judging?
I just it's. Kind of not how it works.
Because it's really not.
Right.
It's like saying that special teams is one-third of the game, but it's really not.
Well,
plus, if you
don't
really
play,
want to be exact.
A third of the plays in a game are not special teams plays.
It'd be the last fifth of the
if
season.
If Andy's case, and you play a game, that's one out of 17 games. That's not a quarter of the season.
Yeah, I think either you change it to the most outstanding player or best player or whatever, or you do consider the playoffs.
Why? No one else does, right? I mean, everybody
because,
else.
Because
it's
you're judging the value
award.
Of a player to his team. It's not just who's the best player.
But why does the playoff change that?
Because, you know, how far you get in the playoffs.
Matters was what you did in the postseason.
For example,
it's a regular season award.
All right, but let's just say that a guy has really excelled during the regular season. His team makes the playoffs, and they do well in the playoffs, but that individual doesn't have a good playoffs. You know, that might eliminate him instead of helping him. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's a regular season MVP. It's for the statistical season. It's not for one game or two games
he
in
can
January.
Be the MVP
well,
and someone else
right
gets
now,
the Super Bowl MVP.
I don't know.
And I also don't necessarily – I think all great players get shut down for certain games. And it may be because the other team says, J.J. Watt ain't beating us. I'm going to triple team him. I'm going to run away from him.
And what happens –
does that make him any less valuable?
Yeah,
no, it actually makes him more valuable.
What happens when he does get shut down? Do they win anyway or do they lose badly?
Well, like on Sunday.
If they lose badly, it's obvious that he is –
so they have to lose, but if they win, then he doesn't win it.
You don't recognize the flaw in that. So if you want to wait for the playoffs because in case the guy that you want to vote for MVP's team gets blown out when he plays bad so you can give him the MVP –
no, but all that's
that... That's what you just said.
All that is a factor. All of that needs to be factored in.
But it can be factored in the regular season. You've had 16 games to watch him
you know,
and
if
to
a,
decide.
If a guy has a bad game and the team wins handily anyway, well, okay, I need to factor that in.
I don't understand why these reporters have a problem just voting for a regular season MVP. That's what you're asked to do. You don't need more games. You don't need more... You have the material at hand for all the candidates. Make a decision.
And they do.
Right. So why do we have a problem with it? You have a playoff MVP. It's called the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem.
Because the most valuable guy in the playoffs, the guy who lost isn't more valuable because you got to the – using your criteria, you got to the biggest game and you won. So your value couldn't be any more. You can't argue that guy was more valuable because he lost using your postseason criteria.
Well, most Super Bowl MVP is for that game.
No, I know, but if you're not in that game, you weren't valuable enough.
There's something to be said about that, but not necessarily because, again – It's the value to the team in that team's success. So, you know, what would have happened if we didn't have him? All that thing. How much better are we because we have him?
So we're not going to have an MVP
for
the regular season?
How much worse would we be if we
didn't have him? I like those arguments. I like those subjective things that require thought.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll just look at the stats and I'll say Aaron Rodgers has the best passer rating. He's the MVP.
Right.
I like being able to look at it and say, no, I think Brady does more because I think he has to do more.
Right.
Or I think Manning does more because he's coming off an injury
and I think that's what he's had to do to get up to speed
with the rest of his players. I like that.
And I think that's the true spirit of MVP.
Right. Yeah, it's not about what would happen if that guy was out. That's what everybody boils it down to such simplistic terms. If that guy's out. I didn't say you.
Yeah.
I'm saying a lot of people do. Like, they want to take the value out of most valuable player. Because how do you know what would happen when the guy's out? And if this guy does
judge
leave
it.
The lineup, watch and make an observation.
If
and
didn't
you know what?
Need judging, they wouldn't have. If they didn't need voting, They wouldn't have voters. If it was an automatic, obvious thing, a computer would just say Brady was the MVP this year because he had the QBR.
Sure. It's like I always say to
there's
you,
a reason that they take media members who are respected right. media members and ask them to vote on
and
it.
And do they get it right all the time? No. I mean, everybody's flawed. Everybody has opinions that differ from someone else, and you might think that they got it right that year.
Did we just get this election right? I don't know.
You know,
we had a result.
You might always think that there's another way to do it, and that's I think that's good. I think that's healthy discussion and healthy debate. It's like I always say to you, I hate bottom line analysis. You know, I'll wait to see what the score of the game was, then I'll tell you who I think is the better team. Mm. Like, anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. Anybody can say...
Isn't he the inventor of the win-based formula?
No, but, you know, only when it comes to the heart throw-a-dart index. I think anybody can look and say, well, they went for it on 4th-and-2 from their own 12-yard line when they were up by 7, but they got it. It was a good move.
Right.
Anybody can do that based on what at the result of the play was. That was a good – you know, they called a triple reverse flea flicker from their own end zone. Oh, they threw a 99-yard touchdown. What a great call.
Brilliant.
No. You know, I think that analysis of – like, I think Andy's reasoning for the whole Brady MVP thing, people should have to look at it that way. That's good if – and I'm not saying that that's the right way. I'm saying you should have to look at things beyond the numbers and come up – now, someone could just as easily say, you know what, that defense isn't as bad as people make it out to be, and Brady doesn't have to do everything on that team. They've run the ball really well this year. They've done all that, and that's why I'm going with Manning, because I think Manning's had to learn his receivers and his entire offensive personnel without really knowing any of them, and that's worth more than playing with – yeah, the Patriots' defense is a little worse than Denver's, but that makes up for it. That's healthy. I think that's a good debate. Just, you know, like I said, Aaron Rodgers is number one in passer rating. Let's make it most outstanding player. Aaron Rodgers wins. He's
we
got the best numbers.
We also have that, you know, offensive player of the year.
Right.
Adrian Peterson.
Bill, by the way, did anoint J.J. Watt defensive player of the year yesterday.
Most disruptive player in the league, I believe he called him.
Yeah, and then he said, he looks to me like the defensive player of the year, which, you know. It's Alden Smith will be putting in his billboard next week when he plays the Patriots in the locker and says,
and Von Miller.
Suck it. Well, he doesn't get to play him again.
No, I know, but
who generally doesn't give bulletin board material to me.
Now,
just
do you think that will have an impact in the game next week?
No.
Thank you.
But I don't know. It might.
But he'll say it was if it goes the other way.
Right.
More
if Jim
calls.
Harbaugh says, I think Colin Kaepernick is the MVP.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Good.
What's up, Melvin?
Hey, how you doing? I got two quick questions I need to ask. Well, the first one being, what are the offensive linemen going to be back this week? I think that's probably the only part that really scares me about this game, kind of. My fear is coming true, possibly, of, you know, possibly Marcus Cannon or, you know, somebody like that, Thomas having to play against J.J. Watt, and now then, you know, 49ers next week. That's not what I want. So, what are linemen? I suppose we're going to be back for this game.
Well, there's a good chance that Donald Thomas and J.J. Watt are going to see each other, because I'd be surprised if Mankins is back. It'd be nice, a nice bonus if he's suddenly healthy enough to get back. It'll be interesting to watch today the practice reports and then the injury report coming into a real practice rather than a walkthrough. But I think probably you're going to see Thomas out on the field, and where Watt plays, you're going to see him. You know, they move him inside and sub, and you know some of the games they do, he's going to see him. To me, the bigger question is the right side, where I have no idea what's going on. You know, I thought basically last week, I thought you saw they don't want to play Marcus Cannon anywhere, guard or tackle. I thought they played Vollmer, who I got to think was limited based on the pregame warm-ups and the reports of him grabbing his back and all that,
and
then how he played against Cameron Wake. He's had a very good year. That was not a Sebastian Vollmer performance. So they clearly thought a hurt Sebastian Vollmer was better than a Marcus Cannon healthy. And then Nick McDonald is also banged up, who is the backup I think they prefer to Dan Conley, who's also banged up. And so that right side, to me, is a huge question mark.
Well, I think that offensive line, as far as their protection goes, is going to be huge, and as well as the defensive line, as well as they can hold off Foster, then just make – because they want to run and then just throw the long ball over top. I don't think he's going to just want to spread you out and dish it out there like that. I think he can, possibly, but that's not his strength.
Right.
That's not what Schaub wants to do.
Yeah, no, that's
I agree with you, Melvin. I would rather, if I were the Patriots, try to entice Kubiak into trying to win like that, because I don't think that's the way they want to play.
Yeah. Melvin, looks like you're predicting one of those old-fashioned, you got to win the trenches battles.
Right. I think offensive and defensive line is going to be huge for this game. Absolutely huge.
I agree.
Well,
I think there's a lot there.
All in agreement there. Thanks for the call.
Good stuff from Melvin.
Let's
as
go
usual.
To Alvin. Melvin to Alvin in Texas.
It's our resident cocaine expert.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Not as good as you. High on cocaine, man.
Hey, I got a question. Like, how's the weather over there in Gillette Stadium right now?
It's very cold today. Yeah. It's supposed to be very warm on Monday.
Yeah, but I heard it's going to rain.
Possibility of rain. That's correct. But 60 degrees.
That's problematic.
Yeah.
Or at least could it influence the game.
Yeah.
So who's actually plays much better? We do or they do, the Texans?
I think the worse the weather is, the better for the Patriots.
Yep.
So the fact that it's going to be 60 degrees sort of mitigates
that. Texans are a southern team, indoor team.
Yeah, I agree. You know?
But they also are built, quote unquote, for the bad weather.
Yeah.
If you buy into a defense travels and defense goes in. And also, I think when you're talking about running the ball and then a little play action waggle, that's not a real accurate pass. You're hoping that the tight end or is dragging free with nobody within 5 yards. You just toss it to him. So even if it's windy, whereas some of the timing things, the back shoulder fade to Brandon Lloyd, you're not doing that if it's, you know,
well,
30.
They don't do it anyway.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, some of the timing aspects and accuracy aspects of the Patriots passing game, even though Brady is a great bad weather quarterback, I think could be more affected by bad weather.
Bring out the Doug Flutie glass cutter gloves.
Sure.
Would this affect the secondary for the Texans? You know, if Brady throws the ball longer, you know, like a deep threat, like, you know, like, because it's cold weather or windy.
Well, you definitely want to stay away from that in windy environment.
Yeah, I think that's why Brady is such a good bad weather quarterback, is because so much of what he does all the time is within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, and it's just out quick and
plus
bang. I think you could throw the ball, you know, quick slants, quick outs. I think you could throw those without being affected by the wind.
J.J. Swatt sends them right back at you.
You want to start throwing, deep, you know, as Andy said, back shoulder fades and stuff down the field. I think that the wind can play tricks with throws like that.
But just to confirm, like, the Texans, I mean, how many games have the Texans won on, you know, on worse weather besides this year?
How many games have the Patriots won in worse weather?
No.
I can't imagine the Houston Texans have played a lot of games in bad weather.
No.
That's why I think the worse the weather it is, the better for the Patriots.
Their division is, you know,
it's a warm weather division. They're 11-1. I don't know what their record is in bad weather.
No, what's our record for bad weather on us? On
the Patriots.
When the temperatures drop,
it's 42-2.
Yeah, it's good.
42.
Kind of.
But we just kind of got finished telling you that it's supposed to be 60 degrees.
We're 4-point favorites.
Yes,
and why is the Redskins favorite on the Ravens game? Which that's good actually.
I didn't know the Redskins were favored.
Yeah,
they are.
They're favorite. They're like 2 points favorite.
I don't know. That's maybe Suggs is going to be out, and you know, Lewis is back.
They could
be
missing as many as 5 starters on defense in that game, depending on
how
much stuff they got in Suggs.
Flacco, they don't
has
think
played
he's,
terrible the last couple of weeks.
He hasn't played well, so. All right, Alvin, thanks for the call. Let's go to Tiff in Wisconsin. Hey, Tiff.
Hey, guys. I kind of didn't want to come on. I was trying to get Kevin's attention to tell Andy.
What's up?
My son made junior All-American. He's going to L.A. After Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, defensive end and middle and outside linebacker.
Nice.
Wow, that's great.
Now, how old is he?
He's 14, but he made it for seventh grade.
That's awesome.
Well, I didn't know they had All-American for.
Now is this
graders.
That is this through like Under Armour?
I wonder if that's that thing Tip was involved in.
Under Armour All-America game I've seen. They do some different age groups, youth football and young, you know, middle school, but that's awesome. Now
it's a whole thing.
Now are you going to go watch him?
I probably will. I'm not for the whole thing, but he's right now I have him doing his cuz he's back in Milwaukee with me just for this year. But it's hard to find a trainer for football only. So we found a trainer in a city away from us. And he goes like 3 hours a week to do this combine, you know, getting you ready for
Mike Boyle training.
All of that. It's expensive. And
I'm sure.
It's supposed to help him for when he goes out there and competes with other kids his age.
Right. Now, I will. That's good. If you can afford that, that's great. But I wouldn't get wrapped up in that. If he's good enough, he's going
to
play.
But you know what? I just means so much to him.
No, I know, but I would just, I've seen it enough. If you're good enough, you're going to find a place. You're going to find a place that'll give you a scholarship. If you're good enough, you're going to find a place where you can play. And, you know, they'll find you if you're good enough. It's not all about this, you know, focus, got to train every day for only football, can't do anything else. And you know, if he's a good athlete, if he can play football, he'll have success.
Yeah, but he's kind of lazy.
He's oh, well, that's not
a low motor.
Well, that's not good.
He's got a low motor.
I call him Hainsworth.
It's just knocking the rust off, Ma.
Come on, Ma.
How big is he? What's his measurables?
He's 6'1", and
seventh grader.
He's about 205.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good frame to grow into?
He's slim but big.
Yeah, that's a,
okay,
that sounds
that's
like
great.
A good frame to grow into. Well, tell him we said congratulations. And
well, absolutely.
I specifically called it to tell Andy because he said tell Andy. He's a Patriots fan. So he said tell Andy. Don't forget to tell Andy.
That's right. Awesome. That is. I hope he has a really good time. I hope it's a good experience. And, yeah, get your butt out there if you can and watch him. That'll be a cool experience for you, too. Proud mama, even though you call him Hainsworth.
All right. And keep us updated
thanks,
with what
guys.
He does.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure you tell Hainsworth we all congratulated him, not just Andy. We're very happy for him.
All right, thanks a lot. Guys.
All right, thanks, Tiff.
And ask him how much he benches.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's go to some of the emails. Alex in the UK says, hey, guys, fairly new listener, having discovered the show towards the end of last year's season. Wanted to start by thanking all of you, even Eric, for the great work, as always. Every one of you brings incisive and informative analysis mixed with great humor that always has me laughing out loud as you wind each other up. Also wanted to give a shout-out to all the regular contributors on the PFW in Progress Facebook page. Could never list them all, but they know who they are. The posts always keep me up to date on the latest Patriots news, and there's a lot of smart football fans on there, as well as usually good-natured debate from a lot of passionate fans, which I always enjoy. On to my two quick questions. Are any of you worried about Aaron Hernandez at this point and the huge contract he was given? He's a good player, sure, but hasn't even started to look as productive as last year, whereas Gronk is clearly irreplaceable. Could that money have been spent better elsewhere, or is he just still limited from his early season injury? I'm a big fan of his, but our receiver position is so lightweight, and if we had looked to invest the money there, would it have added a better dimension to this offense?
No. I think he's been limited by the injury. That, to me, is the biggest concern with him. Is this going to be a yearly thing? Is he going to miss 3-4 games a year where he's slowed to injury? If so, then that's problematic. But I think he is a borderline elite player, and he's going to become your slot receiver. He is your Wes Welker, quote-unquote, replacement. And I think the way he fits in this offense, the confidence he has from the coaches, and most importantly, Tom Brady, that's invaluable. We've seen them struggle to bring in veterans or rookies, anybody. When you find guys that Tom wants to throw to and throws to a lot, keep them.
If he hadn't had that injury, he would be...
He'd be
killing it.
Yeah, and we'd be talking about why Welker only has 57 catches, and that's, to me, I believe wholeheartedly, that he would be the guy leading the NFL in receptions right now.
Secondly, looking ahead to next year's draft, where will Bill be focusing his draft picks next season? Will he be looking to improve totally on defense again, which had limited improvement, or focus more on the O-line receiver position?
I would say it'll be a little more varied than last year, but I still think you start on defense.
All right. Food is here, so let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to more of these emails after this.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Just back to PFW like Progress, and we'll take over since Fred has a mouthful of roast beef, I think, over there with some lettuce in the oven, looked like he was going to choke and die.
I couldn't tell if he was having a spasm or if he wanted us to talk on the air.
His
I thought he might have been choking.
Heimlich! Okay, I swallowed. what? Anyway, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Eric, I heard you yesterday. I'm glad you found your way out.
What?
Weren't you lost in a bookstore?
Why are you so obsessed with that? You're obsessed with it.
I saw your tweet. You said you were lost in a bookstore, and I was worried that you may not make it back to work.
That's not what I said. I didn't say I was lost. I said I could lose entire days.
Oh, so you didn't.
No.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm not just.
I don't know why you're obsessing with it.
I'm not obsessing. I'm just
you are obsessing because you. I was told that you were making a big to do about it on the show the other day.
Big to do.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the show?
No, of course not.
Oh, so you don't know.
Oh, I'm taking the word of these two.
And when do you do that?
And you think that was a wise thing to do?
No, I just thought, I just was worried.
Did that strike you as funny?
I was worried that you may not get back if you're lost in a bookstore.
Well, you obviously didn't read it properly.
Okay. It's good. Okay.
Are you going to go build the Millennium Falcon with those people?
I donated my Dejarik.
I saw your tweet.
Now, Fred didn't read your tweet properly, but did he pronounce the words correctly?
Lost and bookstore?
Okay. I'm just wondering.
Okay.
So
good, Fred. One out of two ain't bad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why you like to wait like an hour before you ask Eric about the practice.
Eric's here, and he has some interesting practice information.
Well, I have practice information. I don't know how interesting it is.
You telling it?
Not Eric. Logan Mankins, Chandler Jones, both in uniform.
For an actual practice.
Actual practice. It's kind of like a Wednesday, even though it's a Thursday because of the Monday.
Right.
And they were in shells. But they were both out there.
How'd they look?
I saw
Chandler playing some quarterback again?
No, he wasn't playing quarterback, but he's moving around like he never had an issue. Mankins still
lumbering.
Yeah, not really lumbering, but you can tell that he's not quite 100%. Jones looks more like he's back to where he was before. But Nick McDonald, no sign of him, and Gronk, obviously.
Right.
Well, not obviously.
I mean,
there have been little rumblings that he might come back early. I want no part of that. Keep him out until the playoffs. Leave it alone. There's no need.
I bring him back for the last game of the season.
Why?
If he's ready.
Why?
Just to tune up.
For the meaningless game so he can get hurt in another meaningless game?
No, I mean, if he's that fragile, then what's the sense? But I think, if he's ready to go, play him.
Ding, ding.
If
he's ready to go, you save him for the games that matter.
What are you saving him for?
The playoffs, games that matter.
He's ready
just
to
told
play,
you for the games that matter.
If he's ready to play and he's healthy, you play him.
Football players play football. No better way to lose a football
We've learned, though, that if you rush a player back from injury, it's not a good thing, Aaron Hernandez.
Who said anything about rushing him back?
Because I think it's a little rushed when you break an arm and you have to have surgery and you're back less than a month later. I don't buy.
I don't know. If he's not 100%, I wouldn't play him. But if he's 100%, I play him. That's not rushing him.
No, but if the rest of the players don't play?
Who are the rest of – what do you mean?
Like the starters. I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Bill has done it different ways at the end of the year.
Right.
A lot of times when they have the bye, they play a little bit more because he doesn't want to give them 2 full weeks off before the game.
I'd like them to get a little tune-up, if possible, before the games that matter.
I don't think Gronk needs a tune-up.
I don't either.
Yeah, makes it unanimous.
Let's see, Ethan in California. Given the injuries to our O-line,
nothing.
Is Alden
I got
Smith?
Nothing.
What's that?
I said it made it unanimous. It was 3-1. It wasn't unanimous.
Yeah, there's nothing unanimous about the three of you. Ethan in California. Given the injuries to our O-line, is Alden Smith becoming more and more of a potential problem for the Patriots coming into this next game? Could that make enough of a difference that the Patriots lose the game by more than expected? And on another note,
wait, what?
Yeah, Ethan's really down. He expects them to lose. It's just a matter of more than expected. So
that one button hooked me there. I didn't see that. That is an issue, and it's the Patriots' injuries, left guard and tight end Gronkowski, that three-man wall that you would potentially have there, combined with Alden Smith and Justin Smith, sort of a two-on-three game there, and all the crap they do in there. That would concern me if you don't have Gronk and you have Donald Thomas starting at left guard.
On another note, Bernard Pollard, the safety who's credited with taking out Brady, Gronk, and Welker, just got quoted as saying that the Ravens need to hit RG3. I have a feeling his season is about to end, though his backup will come in and probably lead them past the Ravens, who will pass the ball every play and have Flacco poop himself.
Let's just be a little bit fair here. He didn't take out Welker.
Right.
He didn't touch Welker.
Right. He was around there, but Welker just fell down.
Welker was trying to avoid him. Yeah. When
he didn't really even take out Brady. I mean, Sammy Morris pushed him into him.
Wow.
He took out Gronk.
There's no denying that one. But, that's not fair. It was the little guy just trying to get the big guy down.
John writes in, I preface this by saying I'm a huge Wes Welker fan.
Oh, boy.
Did the Patriots really screw up by not getting a deal with him done last summer? It seems like franchising him again is possibly going to cost more, including in goodwill, than getting a 3-year deal done last summer. I guess you never know the health of someone
going forward, but Welker's a tough guy.
Well, in actual dollars, it won't cost more. I mean, a three-year deal would have cost you more than the $21 million it's going to cost you over 2 years on the franchise tag. It's more than the 2 years, $16 million that was reportedly offered by the Patriots.
Yeah.
And as far as goodwill, I think the goodwill is borderline irrelevant. Wes Welker wants to be here. I think he'd give his left nut to stay here. And I think taking advantage of that is good business. It may not be nice, you know, morally or whatever you want to call it, but I think they know he wants to be here with Tom Brady.
And, is you know, depending on where he is in the country, he may not be able to continue his Dr. Leonard treatments. So that's an issue.
Can I bring up a Fredism?
I think Fred just brought up something Fredish.
No, like sometimes Fred has the legitimate reading between the lines things that he likes to do. Brady, last couple of times you've spoken about Welker, a little bit different to me than just the normal, yeah, you know, I love Wes. You know, I think he's been
a little
like,
over the top.
Did you see the manhunt he gave him in the locker room after the last game that was on video on Patriots.com?
You think that's sort of a
That's fine. That's Brady, though.
No,
yeah.
No, no. But you think there's a reason behind it. I think he's done a little bit more consciously.
Probably.
I do, too.
But I think in the end it's irrelevant to Welker because, A, he wants to be here, and, B, I think he just shows up and plays football. And I can't see him doing anything Deshaun Jackson-esque,
right.
You know, where he'll admit maybe I wasn't trying. That's not him.
No way.
Batting
is him is putting that tight strap on and running down and pumping those arms and breaking in. That's
him. That's all he is. That's all he knows, and that's all he'll ever be. And that's a leverage for the team. And I don't, as I said, I can't fault them for doing good business. Even though it feels a little stinky and dirty and slimy, it's good business.
No bad guy to me in this one. I agree with Andy 100%.
Peter in Melbourne writes in, hello, gentlemen of PFW lore and Eric. I was listening to Aaron.
Not Lori, that would be a truck, or a former person on this show.
I was listening to Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders yesterday, and he brought up a good point that this Houston secondary are really beat up now, as evidenced with the Jags and Lions torching them in the air. With Gronk out and the Houston D not 100%, I would have to agree with Paul's point yesterday saying that we shouldn't look too much into this game as the result and matchup could be a very different outcome in January. Still hoping that Brady torches them, confident that Baltimore will stumble late in the season, so a top three seed is assured whilst the Patriots control their destiny for their quest for a bye week. Okay.
Wait, what?
I mean, usually the first time you play a team, the outcome isn't, you know, it's a different game the second time you play them, you know. As the Giants game in 07, you know, that was like 35-31.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that it couldn't be any more low scoring than it was in the Super Bowl. So things change.
And then there was the two Giants games last year that were basically carbon copies of one another.
Yeah, so you never know.
I think it can be either or.
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, the Ravens-Steelers games you can always count on to be three-point low-scoring games.
Under 20, right. By a field goal.
They play all the time.
And a quarterback crying afterwards.
Eric from Hong Kong.
Wasn't that last year when Flacco didn't cry but was like, that's a throw nobody thought I could make and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then this year you had Charlie Batch who just opened up the floodgates. He was like Eric at the Louvre.
Even Fred liked that one.
Even Eric laughed.
Well, that one was funny, unlike most of you.
It wasn't mean.
No.
Yeah, that wasn't mean.
Now, see, the truth is never mean. What you can do.
It's kind of mean.
Why is it mean?
No, it's not mean.
People like you who think a man shouldn't cry might take that somewhere, but people like me and Eric who are open and comfortable in our sexuality and can shed a tear and not feel like less of a man are okay with it.
You're open and comfortable with your sexuality?
Very much so.
Okay.
I don't know how comfortable, and I certainly don't think you're open with it.
What?
You're embedded in the closet.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Eric from Hong Kong.
Fred not only thinks that a man shouldn't cry, he thinks pregnant women shouldn't leave the house.
Well, he thinks a lot of things.
He thinks a lot of things.
Right. After about the fifth month.
So the aforementioned Lori shouldn't leave the house. Isn't she expecting
a bun
in the oven?
She is expecting.
Believe so.
Speaking of
Kate,
I guess it's any time now for Brady.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Luckily, he doesn't have to do a lot of work at home.
He doesn't even go home.
I mean, father of the year.
Eric from Hong Kong, just hearkening back to comments a few weeks ago. Fred, you're totally right.
Women should not leave the house.
I agree.
Brady is as good as he's ever been, and his skills have not declined. Paul and Andy pointed out that sometimes Brady feels pressure when it's not there, and that is one aspect of his decline. I actually see it as a positive. I think it is one of the reasons we don't see Brady fumble the ball or get it stripped as he throws it as often as other quarterbacks. Bummed and slightly worried about losing Edelman. Do you think Woodhead can pick up some of the slack?
Nah.
I still like this team more than last year's, and I'm hopeful we end the season with a win. Thanks a lot for the hours of entertainment. Let's go kick some Texan ass.
I like this team better than last year's, too.
Yeah.
I think very similar. I didn't like last year's better, but I really don't see a lot of differences.
I think they're better.
You don't think Chandler Jones and Spikes is playing better?
Better talent-wise, you mean? Or you like them better as players who are on the team?
I think when Spikes played last year at the end of the year,
both.
When he came back in the playoffs, this is how he played.
Yeah, Brandon Lloyd.
What Spikes has done is he's stayed on the field every game. That's been good.
No,
Chandler Jones.
I'm a little more
Chandler comfortable Jones
with
is not
team.
Any better than Andre Carter was last year.
Well, he was hurt last year.
I'm a little bit more comfortable with this team.
Comfortable?
The running game.
They haven't been eliminated.
A little bit more dependable.
I mean, I'm more comfortable with it, too.
You know, I think that's an aspect of, you know, Ben Jarvis Greenells was what he was. Now, is that Teddy Bruschi's dad on TV?
Ridley's considering dad. He's half Bruschi's age, I'm doubting it.
That's an element that's substantially better. Well, Ridley is substantially better than Benny.
Yeah.
Although Benny's come on live as a
Benny's player. Okay.
He's starting to run a little bit better for the Bengals.
He loosened up. He's not so worried about that stupid fumble thing anymore, so now he's loose. He can just go with it.
Ricky and Mobile.
By the way, I would agree that if you eliminate the things that we think are negative about Brady and you say they're positives, Brady's playing as well as he ever has. he doesn't deal with the pressure as well, but that's a good thing.
Right.
Okay, then I can't argue with that.
I love how Fred is trying to sneak in bites between conversations.
just give
like
me a
he
look.
Sees you talk, Fred, and he's like, "Oh,
Freddie, if you need a rant, just give me a signal. I'll go on a rant. I can do that."
Why? You got a rant to go on?
Give me a few minutes.
Mike Florio, go.
Now you have to fill the time while he thinks of the rant to fill time while he's eating.
Ricky and
give
Mobile.
Me you rant while I prepare to rant, and then Fred can eat both.
No, a lot of times I don't necessarily comment on something on an email, but if I need a rant here, I'll...
There's Benny.
I'll take something
Ricky
on
and Mobile.
Live tomorrow on NFL AM.
He says it's crazy that people think Houston can beat us. Our defense can keep up with Houston. Houston's not so great offense, and our offense can just score 21 through 28 points, and we can win the game. Don't forget, we can also run the ball. But I'd rather lose this game than beat the 49ers the next week so I can make my father mad. So I think he'd rather beat the 49ers is what he's saying.
I have a rant that I can give you.
Based on that
think,
email?
Fred Scurry punches
his microphone out of the way.
If you're the Patriots and you know you're going to see Houston again in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
would you rather go into that game in the playoffs having won Monday night or lost Monday night?
One. I always want to win. Especially since if you're going to
play
them.
But you're guaranteed. Well, you're guaranteed.
No, I know, but I always want to have won.
Especially if when you play them again, it's probably going to be in Houston.
All right, let's just say for argument's sake, even though it can't happen, I agree with you, physically it can't happen.
They have to play in New England
again?
Let's
say that they have to play in New England again.
Okay. I want to win.
I still want to win.
I want the team.
I couldn't agree with
you
guys
more.
You
know, the Mike Felger theory, the team that's never won, I want them thinking they can't win.
Well, that's another – you know, Fred started off this show by asking me why they were yelling at me yesterday, why they were making fun of me, Tony and Mike, and that was another one. They both said, I'd rather lose this game because I think it'd give them a better chance to win in the playoffs.
And my occasional burp is disruptive compared to that.
I said, that's utterly ridiculous.
What was their illogical reasoning?
If you're giving me the rematch, make me the team that won the first game every single time in the rematch, and I'll take my chances.
Right. Yeah.
I know I can win. I have no mental obstacles to overcome. I know I can win because I have already done it. Especially when it happens sort of late in the year like this,
yeah.
And it just happened. It's not even like you could say, "Oh, that was back in September." Denver is
going to
be.
I was going to say
if
the
they
Denver
play
game
Denver in the playoffs,
year.
That's all you're going to hear out of Denver is we're such a different team than
right.
that, and we'll find out if they are.
And Denver last year is a good example. Played them in December, beat them.
And did anybody even bat an eye on having to play them again?
No,
because you knew it was the same thing was going to happen because it just happened 3 weeks earlier.
Well, what I was going to say is, tell me what the matchup. Who the matchup winners are in the first game. You know, because if their guys, if we just don't match up well against them,
so you'd rather
chances
lose
are you're going to lose again. You know, so it doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't really matter who wins or loses.
That's the bottom line.
You know, if the better team is better because they just win the key matchups. You're probably going to lose twice.
No, but what I'm saying
is better than you.
What I'm saying is, let's say I lose all the matchups, but I found a way to win the game.
Well, it doesn't matter. The Patriots, Rams, 2001. Right. Everybody says, you know, that was a valuable loss and all that crap.
Yeah, but what, right? what I'm saying is, I get thoroughly outplayed, to use Fred's argument here, and you know, the whole Indy Hart in the trenches.
Was Melvin.
We just lose the battle in the trenches. And we get dominated on both sides of the ball, but we find a way to win the game because maybe some funny things happen. Houston misses a field goal or turns the ball over and we get a pick six or something like that. You know, they get outplayed, but they win the game. I'd still rather that situation than having lost in that situation and having to play in the – I can go into it and say, we beat them while playing like crap. We got outplayed on both sides of the ball, and we still beat them. And
right.
They can't beat us. They're not mentally tough enough to beat us. Right. We've been here before. They can't finish the deal. And that's the way I'm going into the rematch. There's no scenario that I would rather have lost the first meeting.
Me too.
Go to the second meeting. There is none.
Not really any scenarios where I want to lose.
Like the whole thing of it's hard.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
I just want to win.
I don't think there's
I mean,
there's
I think you could
thing.
Argue the
it's hard to beat a good team twice. I don't get it.
Stress. You know, even the players admitted the stress of and yeah. The whole everybody
that's
made fun
though.
Of Michael Gee for, you know, maybe they need a loss to kind of reset the. But generally, I think it's just always better to win.
I think so, too.
Everything's better.
Yeah.
You know, you hear players talk about it's so much more enjoyable and easier to do your work the next week. There's a ton of mistakes, but you do it over a win.
I mean,
it's just...
you mentioned the Rams game in 01. You can learn something from losing, but I think they would have rather won the game and beat them up than lose the game and beat them up.
Right, because don't you think that the Patriots...
Now, I guess you could argue had the Rams lost that, maybe they would have treated the Super Bowl more seriously, and maybe they didn't. Maybe Mike Martz's ego was run amok and he didn't have the fear, whatever. I mean, you could always argue that, but in general, I just want to win. I think it's better. Everything's better after winning.
Yeah, I don't go into the whole thing, well, it's hard to beat a good team twice.
How about three times in the same season?
Yeah, you know, I just don't get it. It's not something that I can fathom as to why
you
would
have. The real problem is it's like, you're taking something from the Felgren Mahesh show and actually analyzing it.
It's like early in the year when the Patriots played Baltimore in week 3. And the previous week, Baltimore had lost to Philadelphia. And both Tony and Mike said, fact, not opinion. And Andy, you remember this.
I do.
It was
stupid.
It was better. It was better that for the Ravens because they had lost. If they had won that game and been 2-0, I think the Patriots would have had a chance. But now I think they're going to lose because Baltimore, they're desperate. They can't lose 2 in a row.
Re-goddamn-diculous.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, just keep listening to him. You'll hear something.
Until
else.
Yesterday.
Dan in Virginia
Does anyone ever email in to them or like text them telling them how much you shred them on this show?
Sometimes. Sometimes I don't know if I'm just getting my tweet. You know, because like, a lot of our boys listen, mm-hmm. and they get my back. Some of them, you know, they don't like me. But a lot of the guys, when I'm doing that, like a guy called me, tweeted me yesterday, he goes, Mr. Cranky Pants is giving it to Tony and Mike.
Well, I just, like, remember when I criticized Toucher and Rich on here and then somebody texted them or and told he was making fun of you on their other show, and I didn't know if anybody did that.
For that
tell
stuff.
Them. Yeah,
No, and strippers, please don't do that.
Strippers, please do it.
I rip them enough. I rip them enough to their
he
face.
He just said that it's nonstop stupid stuff on their show.
I'm not sure I said that.
Yeah, you basically did.
Basically,
I'm paraphrasing.
Well, why don't you just call him out then? You know,
what do you mean?
Why don't you call the Felgren Mass Show and tell him what he's saying?
Hey, this is Andy Hart.
Sounds like you want to. That's what you want to do.
I do like when.
Oh, by
the
way, Gary Tangway was interviewed on BostonSportsMedia.com and said that his.
So you read it? Did anybody else?
He said that his favorite guests on the Uno Show is you and Paul.
Is you
Andy and Paul? He said,
"Is you?
You're his favorite guest."
He likes us for some reason.
Yeah, he likes us together.
Yeah, he petitions a lot to have us on together,
and that will happen again next week,
next Friday, 6:30.
That's good. Dan of Virginia, thanks for another great show. Interesting how this week seems to be more focused on football, whereas last Thursday's show resembled Anchorman.
Because it's the game of the year.
Yeah, it's Houston as opposed to Miami.
It's the best record between two teams on
Monday Night Football
in history?
Ever. The most combined wins.
Really?
It's either tied or the most.
Really?
It's either tied for the most or it is the most.
Either way, it's a huge game late in the year, primetime game. Everybody's watching.
I'm surprised some of those
matchups.
Indy Patriots games.
Well, they weren't on Monday night.
Oh, okay. In a game.
Although, back in the day, Monday night was good.
You know, we think of the modern schedule.
No, I understand.
Wait,
that.
Wait, is this on ESPN? Is this one of those ESPN Monday night things?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I mean, is it the...
Oh.
No, I don't know that for sure. You
it's
might
like
be right.
It's a three-year
but,
sample.
But to me, there's, you know, I mean, there's only so many games it could be. You know what I mean? Like, when it's one a week, you know, it's not like the Indianapolis games. I think that was the record for that late in the year. It was the latest that teams had
undefeated
teams had met and stuff like that. That could happen any year in any of the weeks. It doesn't have to be Monday night. You know what I mean? That's what I think this – it's kind of like an SID stat.
No,
you know,
but I was just thinking in the old days, Monday Night Football
factoid.
Was the big game, so – you would pit the Cowboys versus the Niners or something on Monday Night Football.
Well, but, and there were years, though, that they didn't have flex, so they couldn't.
But I'm sure that year, I don't know if you guys remember, the year that San Francisco and the Giants played late in the season on a Monday night. It was the year that the Giants ended up beating San Francisco in the playoffs, but the Niners won the regular season game. It was Parcells' last year in the Giants.
1990?
Yeah, around that area. And I'll bet you they were pretty close if they didn't.
You had a little Grammy heart in you there.
Sorry.
Yeah, and it was the year O.J. Anderson had 400. And you remember early in the season there was a rookie running back. He was out of Palmer State.
I would never make fun of Paul for that because I would love to have that type of memory.
Oh, me too. I have no idea.
I'll even tell you that the Niners won the game, I believe, 7-6.
And Bill wasn't happy?
Dan of Virginia,
Bill wasn't too
continuing
unhappy.
With his email, he says, in a game against not only a potential playoff opponent, but one of the stronger playoff opponents, do you show everything you have to ensure the win and gain some psychological advantage from dominating that opponent, or do you keep some cards hidden to use in the playoffs? I don't think you can afford to think that way, you know?
No. Channel your inner Herm. Hello!
Yeah.
You play to win the game.
He also says, are the Houston coaches a good game planning team? I know all teams have some kind of plan coming into a game, but it seems to me that a number of the teams that have actually beaten the Patriots in recent years, as opposed to the Patriots making a bunch of errors or getting ripped by a couple of big plays, come to the game with a particular plan in mind as to how they're going to specifically beat the Patriots, as opposed to just coming in and doing what they do. The prime example of this is the Jets in the playoffs in the 2010 season. Even though it's academic with Julian Edelman on IR, I noticed he either caught or was targeted for a couple of deep balls in the games against the Jets and Dolphins. Was there a conscious effort to turn him into a deep threat, or did he just happen to get behind on a couple of plays? Is Edelman the fastest player in the team apart from Demps? Is Wilfork the strongest?
Vince is probably the strongest.
Yeah, I don't think they're
Edelman is pretty fast.
I don't think they're trying to make him a deep threat. I think he happened to get behind the defense.
I think Slater's faster.
I agree with that. I think Vereen's probably faster, too.
He might be. I don't think he's far and away faster than – I think he's in the mix of skill players.
You know, it's hard with running backs because, even a guy like Vereen who hasn't had a ton of touches, you know, in another year or so, he's not going to look very fast. Right. Those guys just – they, you know – Kevin Falk was like a bullet when he came here in 1999. By, like, 2001, it was like – you know, Andy and I still laugh at the slowest kick return in the history of football.
They lose it.
On his other question about game plan, what do you think, you know, Houston's game plan is?
I think they're going to lean more towards doing what they do. Play, you know, set up Arian Foster, play action pass. I don't think they're a dramatic game plan team, certainly not on offense.
Defensively, defense is a different story.
I think you'll see more creativity from Wade Phillips and those guys.
Yeah, you know, Bill had mentioned yesterday that they are a do-what-they-do team, but they also, and I was just watching, obviously there's a ton of stuff on ESPN for this game because of
it's a pretty big
the
game
implications.
Plus they're carrying it.
Houston, well, that's what I'm saying. Houston has rushed five or more rushers more often than anybody in football. So obviously that's, you know, you could make an argument they do what they do in blitzing more than five is what they do, or five or more is what they do, something like 43% of the time. But they've also allowed more touchdowns and more 30-plus yard pass plays on those plays than anyone in football. So it's one of those things. Do they get less aggressive against a guy like Brady when they probably tried that with Rodgers and were unsuccessful with it? So that might be a wrinkle that you might see Wade Phillips do.
But everybody comes in with a plan. Like,
yeah,
it's
sure.
not like anybody just shows up and doesn't
Mike
have a plan.
Tyson? They all have a plan.
Until you punch them in the mouth.
Until you punch them in the mouth.
I mean, everybody even if the plan is to do what you do and wrinkle off of that, whatever, I mean, everybody comes in with a game plan. It's not like they just show up and say, we're going to be Patriots.
You know, and a lot of people would say, well, okay, the 2010 game plan that this guy references with the Jets worked well.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't every team do that?
You have to have. Not everybody has the personnel.
Exactly.
You have to play to your personnel.
That's right.
And there's a reason they, you know, they have Arian Foster. They have a quarterback that can run a little bit, play action, pass, roll out, throw on the run. They have a big play receiver. They have a tight end who's athletic and can slip out. You have to play to your personnel. I think the biggest mistake a team makes is not playing to their personnel.
Finally, Dan says, have you noticed how this season is starting to look similar to last year?
Felger does.
Houston's the number one seed, but the Patriots are getting better, and the Ravens are getting worse. And the Patriots have quietly slipped up to the number two spot. The Patriots' D is coming along, and although they won't be world beaters, they just might do enough.
They might have to be giant beaters.
Oh. Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly with that. I think there's a ton of similarities between this year's team and last year's team.
Coach, quarterback.
Oh, jeez.
Boy. Tight end. Gets hurt.
Tight end. Yeah. He's hurt.
Lauren in Charleston, South Carolina, she says, I'm heading up for the game.
Kicker.
And checked out the Weather Channel for the report, and it said 40s and
Long
30s
snapper.
And a 40% chance of rain. I just heard you say it's going to be in the 60s a second ago, so what is it?
59 with a chance of rain.
Oh, but that's during the day. By the time this game is, it's going to be in the 40s, so dress warm.
Or drink a lot.
I wouldn't dress any differently if it was going to be, you know, 50s or 40s.
Yeah, Monday during the day, the high is 60 with rain, and then at night, 38.
Right, so dress warm and waterproof.
Right, yeah, 60% chance of rain.
So they said what we said. Right.
Right.
Josh in Waterloo, can somebody ask the little Bob Costas if guns kill people? How does anyone leave a gun show alive? Okay.
That struck me. I liked it.
To say that if there were no guns, those two people would be alive is like Paul blaming the spoon for making him fat.
Exactly. That's a great analogy.
It is.
I couldn't agree with that more.
So now let me
I'm serious. I think that's a perfect analogy.
So now let me get off the soapbox and ask if you saw Goodell proposing for eliminating kickoffs. Why don't we just put the ball on the 50-yard line and make two guys dive for it?
It's called
and
the
while
XFL.
We're at it, yeah. Players should be able to put whatever they want on their jerseys.
Oh,
can you get into
there.
It now?
Yeah, let's get into that quickly. Well, it's
not
one,
for long, though.
It's 1:30. The proposal by
Picks.
Greg Schiano that he said is instead of kickoffs, instead of kicking off from the 30, the team would have an option. They could either punt it or it would be 4th and 15.
You basically take possession at the 30 with 4th and 15. Do what you may after that.
Right, and do whatever you want. You can free kick it, which is basically a punt, or you can go for it. So, but here's the bad part is, so you just scored a touchdown. There's a chance you could keep the ball for another drive?
Yeah.
You would get coaches, I think, that would just say, I'm good enough on offense. I'm going for it every time.
Yeah.
You know, these high school coaches
insane.
That do it. And
I think that's, yeah, that doesn't.
No, not going for it, the rule.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's a new age idea.
Well, basically, Florio was saying, you know, no one's going to go for the 4th and 15. They're all going to punt it.
You don't know Bill Belichick.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure Ernie Adams wouldn't say, Bill, with this offense, we're going to convert, you know, 67% of these, and if we turn 33% of those 67% in touchdowns, we're going to win the average game by 21 points.
And he would be absolutely right to think like that. You know, whatever the actual numbers are.
Not everybody. I mean, you
no,
know,
but you
the
think
Jets
Hill's
wouldn't
the only
necessarily
one?
Do it. But
no.
I mean, again, it's back to your personnel.
Green
and
Bay would do it.
Yeah.
New Orleans would do it.
And a lot
teams
of these
that can move the ball on offense would do it.
And this day and age of, you know, these Chip Kellys that are supposedly kind of on the cusp of taking over at the NFL, these types of guys would be doing it. All of a sudden, you'd have an influx of that team didn't touch the ball.
And maybe not right now, but, you know, next year, Washington and Indianapolis would be doing
right.
it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a very good rule.
Is this
rule
an
at
effort to try to
the exact reason
eliminate
you said.
Concussions and
high speed and all that crap? Take that out of the game.
Yep. I mean, now the punt is a dangerous play, too, but they're saying it's not as dangerous as a kickoff.
And it's not as dangerous when you're hardly returning any kickoffs as it is. All these kicks are going through the end zone.
Right.
Why don't you just, I mean, if you want to eliminate the play, just say that the other team takes over on the 20 or the 25,
25
or whatever it is.
Well, you can't eliminate the chance for an onside kick. And so this would – your onside kick becomes the 4th and 15.
You're sort of trying – I mean, what's the difference between eliminating the onside kick and eliminating the kick?
Well, but you can't – if you eliminate kickoffs, then you eliminate the chance for a team to get the ball right back in a pressure situation at the end of the game.
Right.
I think there's a way around. I mean, I don't want to change it anyway. I want to keep it the way it is in kickoffs. But I think there's got to be something that can be done. The onside kick is every bit as dangerous as a kickoff return.
Yeah.
They've already done a lot of stuff in the last two or three years to outlaw things.
But this now, the onside kick becomes fourth and 15.
Becomes just a play.
You know, now you have a chance. If you can convert to fourth and 15, you can keep the ball.
Right. But I think to Paul's point, it's still a safety issue. An onside kick is still a safety issue, might even be more so.
No, now, yeah, as it is.
So find another way to see if you can get the other team to keep the ball.
I'm just going down the road of it's a physical, violent sport that has injuries. Yeah. If you want to get rid of injuries, get rid of the sport.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to change anything. The kickoff is fine for me.
You know, there was a big.
I don't think change is a bad thing if it's good change. I mean, the game has changed all these years,
and I don't like it. I want the goalpost back on the goal line. I heard a long discussion last night on my new favorite show, Showtime, Inside the NFL, and Chris Collinsworth very much. They had a Darren Sharper, I believe it was on as the guest player guy, and the discussion was player safety and Ed Reed and these, you know, and Collinsworth said, you know, he really feels for the defense. He said, I never felt for a defensive player in my life, but they can't win now. And they had a lot of good highlights of, you know, a guy blitzing and he's trying to bat down the pass, but then his momentum takes him into the quarterback. And instead of a good play, it's a 15-yard penalty. And, you know, his thing and Sharper's thing was on the Ed Reed type hits. And, you know, you can't hit him in the head anymore. So now you're lower. And now you have two guys lowering their necks. Now they're at the both players now spinal injuries. And, right. you know, you're playing a different sport. Everything about this player safety almost creates other issues with player safety. And, you know, okay, we protected the quarterback. What about the guy who can't do anything now who's sort of, defenseless on the field? And it's just this ongoing issue. And I understand as a, you know, intellectual and, you know, an advanced society, we try to address. But at some point you say, it's football. It's violent. It leaves you with issues. You can either continue to play it and understand that, or we got to get rid of it.
I guarantee you, if there was some way, and there isn't, but if there was a way that the league could guarantee that they would never be sued by anybody, they'd do it. But that's the problem, is you got over 2,000 people suing them right now.
But not 2,000 people have won.
No, but
that's the difference.
No, I'm talking about that class action.
Yeah, they haven't won.
But still,
just because you sue,
no, I know,
doesn't mean you're going to win. A judge could say, "Excuse me, 2,000 people.
Yeah,
did you know that football was
right.
violent when you signed up for it?
Yeah.
Did you understand there was a risk of injury because every piece of equipment you ever put on said using this equipment
is not
entails an inherent risk of injury? Yes, sir. Case dismissed. I mean, they haven't lost yet.
If they could guarantee that." There would be no.
You know why they're going to get in trouble
in the future? They would be right with.
They're not going to get in trouble because football is violent or because the rules allowed anybody to hit in the head. They're going to get in trouble because they put together a sham of a concussion committee who tried to squash the idea that concussions even existed.
That's the whole thing.
It wasn't. It was negligence. Right. It wasn't being naive. It was downright negligence that's going to cost them millions of dollars.
But now, if they don't do everything,
just don't be negligent.
If they don't do everything in their power to reasonably address safety, they feel that they're liable.
I don't agree. I think they went ass backwards
and
flat out were doing things that were unethical, illegal.
Well,
everything in their power would
like
be to make sure
were,
that
just like colleges were, everybody was.
Colleges
doing
still
it.
Do it.
Yeah,
colleges are still doing it. Watch that HBO special, Real Sports, from last week. With
I think
Brian
as
Cumberland.
Long as you're
I saw in the MIA Super Bowl, I'm not going to say which game. I was watching the game. The kid gets knocked in the head. He's down on all fours, staggers to his feet. His teammate helped him up. Not only did anyone not go and say, "Hey, how you doing?" He didn't even come out of the game.
But to me, there's a
difference.
100 years of the NFL, though.
There's a difference between not being educated enough. Yes, everybody needs to be educated to head. I did my parent teacher yesterday, and she was talking about recess injuries. If a kid says anything head, I hit my head, I hit kid, they are by law required to send the kid to the nurse.
Yeah.
Any other injury, they can assess whether, you know, head is now, just send him to the nurse. That's how big a deal this is. But to me, there's a difference between being educated and being negligent, made decisions that they knew were wrong
possibly,
at the time.
Yeah, that's what the
possibly.
Suit is about. You're right.
But,
you're right.
There's enough, all these recent, you know, the Jets doctor who they used to call doctor or whatever, and, you know, like joke, it was almost like it was an open joke.
No, you're right.
And that's what's gotten them in trouble more so than, well, your sport allows people to hit somebody in the head. That's not really what's going to cost them hundreds of
They're
millions.
They're not going to get in trouble because they didn't throw a penalty for a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Well. All right, time for picks. This week's picks on PFW in Progress are sponsored by Subway Restaurants, as they are every week. Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
I love how he scrunches it up before he's even done every week.
Big.
Even though he's going to have
big,
to read it again next week.
Yeah, that way I can't save it. That's right. Why he does it.
A tree falls every week.
We have enough paper in this.
Easy now. Big week.
For me.
Fred Kirsch.
Oh, bitches.
You know what happened this week?
It was a stupid week.
The NFC West finally came through for Fred. The Seattle Seahawks actually won a game on the road.
Plus my
in a game against somebody other than an NFC West team.
My upset of the week came through. St. Louis beat San Francisco. That was my upset of the week.
Yeah, but you get your you win the week for Seattle.
Okay.
And you finally got an NFC West team that actually won a game. Fred Kirsch, 11-5, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
Wins the week. I went 9-7.
Uh-oh.
Andy and Eric went 8-8.
Ooh.
With the spread, Eric wins.
Oh, wow.
At seven,
he hasn't
eight,
won with a spread in damn near 10 years.
7-8-1.
Ooh, that means we all did that.
Fred was 6-9-1.
Nothing gets by you.
Paul and Andy were 5-10-1.
That really ruins a season right there, a 5-10-1.
For the season, I continue to set the pace, 136-55-1.
You also continue
you kept
to
the
keep
book.
The book.
Correct. Andy is 127-64-1. Eric is 121-70-1. And Fred is 103-60-1. With the spread, I am 97-87-8. Andy is 94-90-8. Eric is 83-101-8. And Fred is 76-79-7.
You may notice the discrepancy in the numbers there.
I have less games.
I missed believe it. I have that discrepancy.
What I missed, 1 or 2 weeks?
At least two.
Parts of two.
Parts of two.
You took the Patriots in those 2 weeks.
I gave you the Patriots. So you actually got credit for a win and a loss because I believe the Arizona game
was
one of the weeks that you missed.
Okay.
Kevin, I need San Diego, Pittsburgh.
All right. Tonight.
Tonight. In exactly 6 hours, 19 minutes, and 22 seconds.
Denver versus Oakland.
I doubt it. Denver by 10.5.
Where's this game?
Oakland.
This is an easy pick.
I will take, I don't think it's an
Raiders
easy pick.
Raiders in the upset special?
Denver will win and cover, but it's a big number that I don't love, but I'll take it.
I will
Do
take.
Do I smell exhaust?
A little bit. A little bit.
I will lay that number. I think Denver is going to win by 14 or more.
Yeah, I'm worried. First of all, I'm going to take Denver to win. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take Oakland. To cover for two reasons. One, I think it's like Andy said, that's a lot of points for a home dog, double digits. And the whole thing with Dennis Allen's father, I think that maybe gives him a little bit of a rallying point.
Carson Palmer still is quarterback?
I think Denver's defense has gotten a lot of big leads and given up a lot of backdoor covers. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but
no, I don't follow that kind of stuff.
Sort of watch, you know, I'm kind of a degenerate, so I kind of watch these things, and I think that's what happens tonight.
Paul has it right. And that's what I'll do as well. St. Louis at Buffalo, Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Buffalo by three. Winners of one in a row.
The Rams,
I think,
no.
What, 3 out of 4 for the Buffalo?
No.
What, 2 out of 3?
One in a row, as I said.
I'll take the Rams on the road. This is just purely picking with my heart. And my heart is with Sam Bradford and Robert Quinn.
I'm going with the same pick, because I just think the Rams are more... I hate to say it, but they're more trustworthy at this point than the Bills.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they're both pretty inconsistent.
They are, but I'm just going with a gut feeling.
You know what? I'm straying away from my my value chart a little bit the last couple of weeks.
You're going with the road team.
Two crappy teams.
Go with the road team.
I'm going to go with the home crappy team, number one. That's Buffalo.
Oh.
And number two, I got to stick with my NFC. The reason why I have this enormous lead is because I pick against the NFC West every week. I'll continue that.
I'm going to go with Buffalo as well. They continue on their tear. Atlanta.
That one game tear.
Looking for two in a row.
Atlanta at Carolina. 1 o'clock.
Atlanta at Carolina. Atlanta by 3.5.
I will take Atlanta to win and cover. They are the better football team.
Yep.
And I just, I know they've played, haven't had their best football over the last month or so, but they have the athletes to score points quickly. And I think they'll actually win this one pretty easy.
I do too. I think I feel comfortable now that they're in the playoffs and they're going to take care of business.
Yeah, I like Atlanta in this game too. I'm a little bit, just on a couple of the games that we just saw. Denver's on the road against Oakland, 10.5. Atlanta on the road against Carolina, 3.5. It's interesting what they think of those two teams, because I don't think Carolina is really any tougher to play in Carolina than Oakland would be. It's not like there's a big difference in the road team. I mean, the home team.
It's how they feel about the favorite.
Yeah, I'll take the Falcons.
Me too. I'm going to take the Falcons. I was thinking about making this my upset of the week, but Carolina, big disappointment for me this year.
MVP.
Sunday at 1 o'clock, Dallas at Cincinnati. A little bit better game than people thought when the schedule came out.
Cincinnati by 3.
Cincinnati by 3 over Dallas.
I'm going to take Cincinnati to win and cover. I think they are the more consistent, safer football team, certainly at home. And, you know, I like what they have there with the Red Rifle and A.J. Green and now Benny getting the job done and that pass rush and the
Geno Atkins.
Yeah, they got a lot to like with that team, which is probably not something you've said about the Bengals a lot over the last 30 years.
No, but you're right. They are, I think, the closer to being the better team. I still don't trust them completely, but
The Bengals.
In a game against Dallas, whom I really don't trust, I'll take the Bengals, win and cover.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Bengals definitely have the talent edge in this game. Whether or not that they have the maturity edge or the coaching edge or whatever, all that stuff that you need, I don't know. But I'll take the Bengals in this game because they're a better team than Dallas.
Yeah, this is a tough pick, I think, because you just never know what Dallas team's going to come out. But got to go with the Bengals here, but just been playing a little bit more consistently of late. Kansas City at Cleveland.
Cleveland by 6.5.
Yeah, I'll take Cleveland to win and cover. I think there's a letdown factor here. I don't see Brady Quinn as two-time AFC Player of the Week this week, and I just think that was such an emotional strain. And a lot of times when you get up for that, you get down after that, and this is the down.
I agree.
And I'm a little surprised at how well Brandon Whedon has played this year. I mean, I know he's an older rookie, but I wasn't sold on him coming out of the draft. He surprised me a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Browns at home to win and cover.
I will take Cleveland for the exact reason that Andy did. I think you can sort of gather up that emotion 1 week. It's hard to do it.
It's hard to sustain.
And they're still, you know, they look in the mirror. Now they have all this that happened, and they say, and we're 2-10.
Right.
You know, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, I got to go with Cleveland as well. Tennessee at Indianapolis, Sunday at 1.
Indy by 5.5.
So another game where you just look at the record and you look at their win. They should win this football game. And this is a big one for them because, you know, a team that had the number one overall pick last year to now this late in the season say you should win this game.
Yeah.
I don't think they are light years talent-wise ahead of the Tennessee Titans, but they have the quarterback and they have the record, and I got to pick them to win and cover.
And
Paul's looking like Jason Dvorkin over there for some reason, making these strange faces with a dip in his mouth.
And they have the added impetus of fighting for a playoff spot. Legitimately.
Oh, yeah. Chuck Strong is alive and well in Indy. Paul?
With even.
So is Pagano.
So I'm gonna go with the team that's playing for something, and that's the Colts. Both ways, Paul.
I agree with the boys. I think Indy gets this one done. And I also agree with Andy. To just pencil in wins for the Colts, I think, is dangerous. But again, we can hear you.
Sorry.
I will take the Colts.
This is my upset of the week. Tennessee wins the game. New York Jets.
The other one he wanted to be the upset of the week. This is the actual upset of the week. Right. So next week he has at least two games he can tell you.
I give him credit. At least he took a game with a spread. I mean, 5.5, that's a good spread. That's an upset. Usually it's like a pick'em or a one-point game. He calls his upset special.
Or he takes the favorite. Who he thinks shouldn't be.
Which you know he
was
going to.
So was San Francisco the favorite last week?
Which you know he was going to do with Cincinnati.
Okay. And you often take a team that you think should be the underdog, even if they're the favorite.
Like you know he wanted Cincinnati was his upset special this week. So he found out they were favorites.
It's all jealousy. It's all jealousy.
Even Kevin's laughing at the other because he knows that it's so right.
Well, Kevin doesn't even know what's going on in the show.
Yeah, I'm jealous of the enormous lead I have over you.
It's all jealousy. Jets at Jacksonville, Sunday at 1. Jets at Jacksonville.
The Mark Sanchez's are favored by 2.5.
Did you see my tweet?
No.
I said starting Sanchez is a no-brainer. Come to think of it, all their decisions seem to be no-brainers.
I see what you did there. This is the bowl between the team that doesn't want to play Tebow and the team that would like to have Tebow but doesn't have him, right? I mean, these are the two that tried to trade for him last year. It's a bad football game is what it is, bottom line. I am just going to go with the team that I think is better, and that's the Jets, even though I don't feel good about it.
This is my nominal upset of the week because I think the Jets are one of those roller coaster teams, and I think this is the down part of their roller coaster ride.
7-6 was.
I know. That was a real small roller coaster.
They won the game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a controversial term, but that abortion last week was the.
I mean, yep. Did you hear the ringing endorsement that Rex gave in announcing that Rex was going to be
feels
his,
confident in all
I can't
his
wait
quarterbacks.
To see him play.
We have a better situation at quarterback than a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get criticized for that, but I believe
he says I can't wait to see Mark play. You've seen him play all year.
He can't help himself.
Why? He says the same thing. Bill would say the same thing. I have confidence in all my
players.
I'm going with the Jags at home.
You know, it's easier for him to say it because he has.
I will go with the Jets. I just think they're better.
Just take it's close enough. You're allowed
to
take
the Bengals. I mean the Bengals, the Jags. Yeah.
Wait, Jordan Todman.
Yeah, I do want to take them, but I got to go with the Jets. All right.
Go, Todman.
Chicago at Minnesota. Chicago at Minnesota.
Chicago by 3.
Bad loss for Chicago.
Correct.
I think they're falling apart, frankly. Yeah.
But, I mean, Minnesota is Adrian Peterson.
Right,
if he can rush for a $180 or .210, yeah, they have a chance to win this football game. But will he? I'm
no
going with the guy
Harvin
I like
either.
More. I'm going with Adrian Peterson. I don't like Jay Cutler, so I'm taking the Vikings and A. They now, a lot of people are now calling him AP, by the way. So apparently
I think
it's one of those things where the wrong thing got said so often it became the
no
right
one
thing.
No one corrects it anymore.
I did hear some commentators say AD.
Well, that's what it is. His original nickname was AD.
And he even said they call him all day.
But it's become so common now to say AP that I think it's almost become accepted.
Yeah.
And he probably answers to
I
it
I think
now.
It's the nickname. Because when Adalys Thomas was here, his nickname was AD. And everyone used to call him AT. People just don't like the nickname AD for some reason. I'm going to go with the Bears. I don't really like that pick, but I think they're going to end up making the playoffs, and this is a game they need to win to do that.
Okay.
I agree with everything Eric just said. I don't know about the playoff part of it, but I don't like the pick. I'm going to pick Chicago because I think they're a little better than Minnesota. I just don't feel real good about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Minnesota only because they're home. San Diego at Pittsburgh. San Diego at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh by 6.5, as you probably already heard Kevin say.
Is Ben in? Big Ben?
Looks like he's going to play.
He might be.
Okay. Took a good step, according to
just one?
Mike Tomlin yesterday.
Don't you need to take more than one step to play Kevin. Football? I am going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers at home with Ben. That defense... you got a hard-nosed defense against a soft-willed team. That's a bad combination. So I will take the Steelers to win in cover.
I really hate to do this. I think I've picked the Steelers and Big Ben more than I've ever picked them in any season before. And I'm going to have to do it again this week because the Chargers I just have no faith in.
Yeah, there's a couple of teams that have that look. Oh, I'm sorry.
You stepped on his freaking shtick.
I was waiting for the Superchargers, and I knew he was picking Pittsburgh. I forgot about the other side.
I heard him. I saw him cue him.
Right, exactly. I mean, be a professional. You've done enough radio and television in your life to know how this works.
I apologize 1,000 times. How many times can I say it? I blew it.
I apologize 1,000 times to you.
Okay.
I apologize 1,000 times.
You don't know Bo, the most anticipated documentary in television history.
Is Bo the most anticipated?
Yeah, I mean, I got to think it's up there.
Okay.
You're delusional.
Who's your pick, Paul?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, me too. Baltimore at Washington, Sunday at 1.
Fred's upset of the week.
Washington by 2.5.
This is my upset of the week. I think the... Baltimore Ravens get it done. I think you're going to see that offense break out a little bit because I think Washington's defense is suspect beyond suspect. I think you're going to see some bombs down the field, and I think you're going to see Ray Rice go off.
You're just picking because the Ravens have to travel all the way to Washington,
well,
D.C. for that
game. That's part of it. You know, the mentality going on the road in a tough environment.
We had a walk it
seriously,
one year.
How did they get there?
They drive up the, like we do.
They take a bus.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's less than an hour.
Yeah.
Or about an hour.
Okay.
That would be kind of stupid if they flew from
they could get
Reagan National.
They could take the train.
They just turn around and fly back and land.
Because,
players are creatures of habit. And for road games, they're used to getting on planes.
Yeah. Well, you know what they do?
So
they
go up.
They go to the airport.
Around.
They get on the tarmac. They go up on the plane. Then they just get right off, go on a bus. And then they just drive to the game.
And they feel like, it's a
regular
road
trip. It's the
same
thing. It's about the same distance from the airport to the game.
What if the coaches said, everybody taking their own cars this week? Okay. I'll meet you
Not a
there.
Good idea.
Stuck in the Beltway traffic.
Ravens announced that they have 22 inactive players who didn't show up for the game.
So did they get an escort for the whole hour and a half?
I can't make it.
You know?
I would imagine they would. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially with all that traffic. They would have to.
Probably save a little money, too.
You got Baltimore, too, or Washington?
I'm going to take the Ravens. I like what RG3 is doing, but I do think the Ravens are the better team, and they have something really – I know the Redskins are still trying to fight for that playoffs. They could even win the division, but Ravens are the better team. I'll take them in what amounts to another home game.
Tough pick.
Yeah, I'm going to channel my inner Felger and Maz. Had the Ravens won last week, I'd be maybe picking the Redskins here, but they lost last week, so they need to win this one. I think much like Pittsburgh, you can't ever count those kinds of teams out. You know, the Patriots, they were, you know, 1-2 at one point. You don't ever count those kinds of teams out, the teams that win a lot of games. Baltimore will bounce back. They're not as bad as they've been playing. I don't care how many injuries they have. They're still a pretty good team. They're going to find a way to win this game.
Yeah, I got to go with Baltimore. I just think
upset of the week?
No, but I just think they're just better than Washington. And I like RG3 too, but
I love RG3. Yeah.
So it's unanimous. Terrific. We all took Baltimore?
We all took Baltimore. I like Andy's reasoning too. I think Washington's defense is leaky.
Oh yeah.
And I think you get Torrey Smith behind him a couple of times, and Cam Cameron listened all week to how he completely ignores Ray Rice again.
Right.
I have a feeling this might be one of those 40-20 time of possession games.
All right, Sunday, 4:05, Miami at San Francisco.
San Francisco by 10. 10! 10! She's 10!
Did you pick Tampa Philly, Fred?
We haven't picked that one yet.
Tampa
Philly. Is that a 1 o'clock game?
Oh, I did pass it over. I'm sorry. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, Sunday at 1.
He's paying attention to the times of the games.
Yeah.
Tampa by 7.5.
Where's this game?
Tampa.
I'll take Tampa to win in cover. I'm not sure all the Patriots ex-practice squatters can beat the Bucks on the road, and that's what it's becoming down in Philly.
I know. How many more coaches can get fired this week? Andy Reid, too.
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Oh, he fired more people? If he's doing the firing.
Who did he fire?
I'm not sure about that.
Didn't he fire one defensive line coach?
The Washburn guy.
Oh, the guy who wanted
wide
to
nine.
Keep
the wide nine
Babin
guy.
Wanted to know why he didn't leave.
Yeah. That's a disaster over there. Almost as epic as the Jets. But
yeah, I can't think Andy Reid's doing it.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like
he. If he is, like, then maybe he's going to be back, which is God.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't see him as the kind of guy who would do that. To his own coaches.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless
they were real a-holes.
I heard this guy was like really, somebody called him a cancer. Somebody internally. So.
Unnamed?
I think so, yeah.
Of course.
Somebody called him a cancer.
I would argue that guy's a cancer.
Yeah. So I'll take the Bucks. They're at home. They're the better team.
Okay.
Winning cover.
Yeah, I started to say about San Diego, I would say the same thing about the Chargers, the Eagles. Some teams just have a look of the team that will not win another game. I said about the Eagles last week. I'll take Tampa Bay here.
Me too. Tampa Bay, Greg Schiano, not only does he coach the Bucs, he comes up with new rules for the NFL. He's really working overtime.
He's on the competition
down there.
By the way. And he looks to fight the guy at the middle of the field for the post-game handshake every right. week.
But another way, he's not Belichick.
Oh, did you
now he's offering up things
right.
to the league.
Did you see the Tomlin-Harbaugh exchange?
Very
after
odd.
The game?
Extremely odd.
Yeah, Harbaugh wanted to sit down and chat, I guess, and was offended that Tomlin did was say
no. Tomlin brushed by him and barely touched his hand and kept walking, and Harbaugh grabbed his hand and said, congratulations, and stopped
What's it with
him.
The Harbaughs and handshakes?
And then Tomlin left, and he patted Joe Flacco on the chest as he walked by. Clearly, Tomlin was irked at something that Harbaugh did probably the last time they played, which was just 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I don't know what that was, but clearly Tomlin had a hair across
And then
his
Harbaugh
ass
took
something.
A couple steps, like, do I go after
yeah,
him?
Yeah, he said he's pissed at me for something.
Right. Miami at San Francisco, Sunday 4:05.
San Francisco by 10 still.
this is an interesting two teams kind of coming off interesting games. You know, Kaepernick's situation, losing to the Rams is an issue, and obviously a tough luck loss for the Dolphins, who are sick of these close games that they lose. I think it manifests itself in a blowout for the Niners. I think Colin Kaepernick makes a lot of plays all over the field, and I think the Dolphins start to kind of shut it down and realize, we fought tough, and we're going in the right direction, but we're a loser team yet again.
I think the Niners will win with Kaepernick, but I think the Dolphins will find a way to keep it under 10.
And I also add in the fact that I think Jonathan Martin blows, and if he's starting at left tackle versus the law firm of Smith & Smith, he's going to get his ass kicked.
I think the Niners bounce back and sets up a nice week for the Patriots.
Teams that normally underdog teams that normally lose to the Patriots but make it a competitive game bounce back and win the next week. But I will not pick Miami, but they will cover.
Is that true?
Let's wait for Paul to...
What do you think?
Because suddenly you're pulling this random stat out of your a-hole.
425, New Orleans at the Giants.
I recognize when he's making jokes. I let him go sometimes. Giants by 4.5.
Yeah, I think the Giants win this game. I don't have a lot of confidence in them or the Saints right now. I think the Saints are a team that I wouldn't be stunned if all of a sudden they come in and they put up 40 points on the Giants. But... that said, I think the Giants' pass rush will get the job done, even though I saw they, you know, kind of twisted it at Breeze. Much harder to prepare for RG3 than it is for Drew Breeze. So you never know what that does. But I think the Giants are the better football team. Unless Tom Coughlin gets outed between now and then as a solicitor.
Is he rumored to be one of the...
No, but there's an NFL management, and then there's a Giant, and it's all tied into New York, so you never know.
An ex-Giant.
You know when his cheeks are all red, you never know what he's coming from, a little meeting with a lady.
I'll maintain, if it ain't Lawrence Taylor, I'm going to be stunned.
I hope it's not Lawrence Taylor. That's such a letdown.
Oh.
I mean, give me something. Yeah. Give me Jeremy Shockey.
If it's not him, it'll be a shock.
That's no fun. We know. He solicits prostitutes. He gets arrested for it. It's not fun. It's not interesting. It's not going to sell your book.
No. I kind of think...
Now, if it was John Rook, that'd be interesting. Spends a lot of time in New York with the Big East.
I think the Saints are a better team than the Giants.
I don't want these picks to be torturous for
you.
Especially since you already made the pick and it's on the paper in front of you.
Yeah, but I'm trying to explain.
You're not doing a good job.
You
about
go
it.
10 minutes to explain
I know,
one pick.
That's
and nobody else
when
can.
I'm doing that, I'm actually trying to figure out who I'm going to pick by the time I get to the end of those sentences.
I'm taking the Giants. I don't like it. But what was the number again, Paul?
4.5.
I'll take the Saints with the number, though.
Whoa, okay, close game.
Yeah,
I'll take the Giants.
Me too, Giants. 425, Arizona. At Seattle, an NFC West team has to win this game.
Correct. Seattle?
Not necessarily.
Could be a tie. Right?
By 10.5.
I'll take Seattle to win and cover. They're at home. That's a big deal for them. Yes. And they're coming off a road win. Again, though, did you see that?
And they're playing
post-game?
Well.
Pete's like, he's such a dink.
How about
TJ81? He's just such a dink.
Well, I can understand why Arizona treated their win over the Patriots like the Super Bowl, because it was for them. They've collapsed.
At least they won their Super Bowl then.
Seattle.
One the Patriots can say.
But they backed up your stat, because when they have a close game with the Patriots, they followed up with a win, and they did. No, so they backed up your stat.
I saw underdog teams lose in a close game.
Oh,
it gives them.
Well, they
confidence.
Were an underdog team that won in a close game.
Yeah, so that
and it gave
it
them confidence, and they won the next game too.
That's true.
So your stat gets validated.
That's right. Detroit at Green Bay Sunday.
So everybody
night
took
at
Seattle in that one.
Yeah.
Detroit at Green Bay Sunday at 8:20.
Green Bay by 7.
I'll take Green Bay to win and cover. You know, and these two teams are both disappointment in my eyes in terms of what they could have been. I think the Packers could have been an elite team, and the Detroit could have been a good team, and neither are where they should be. But I'll take Detroit. Green Bay.
I thought Detroit was going to win that division, possibly.
Potentially, but
with all the talent they had. But
Schwartz,
they really let
control
me down. I'll take the Packers to win. But again, I'll take the number. I think the Lions are just good enough that they'll keep it close.
I'll take Green Bay. I agree with Andy, though. I mean, even though Green Bay has a very good record, I don't think that they've been overly impressive. But, you know, 9-3 is 9-3, however you get there. And they're a pretty good team.
It's a win-based formula.
But Detroit's just a mess. So
yeah, I got to go with Green Bay as well. All right, the league for once saved the best for last. Houston at New England, Monday night, 8:30, ESPN, Gillette Stadium. Andy.
Pats by 3.5.
Fred is right. The league saved the best for last. This is going to be, I hope, a great football game. I think it's two legitimately good, not great football teams, equally flawed, but matchup city, you know, passing game, run defense, quarterbacks, coaches, lot to look at here. Bottom line is, I haven't decided yet, but I'm going to decide right now. The Patriots get the job done on their home field. I think the injuries and ineptitude in the back end for Houston is going to cost them. I know I've talked all week, the limited weapons for the Patriots. Can you spread them and shred them? I think Brady still gets it done, and I won't be surprised if someone else other than Hernandez and Welker, whether it's Stallworth, whether it's Vereen, whether it's
Lloyd,
Shanko, whether it's Lloyd, somebody will have a big game that we'll be talking about next week that we didn't necessarily see coming.
Okay.
And I think the Patriots defense shuts down Arian Foster enough to make sure they get the job done on that side of the ball.
Right.
Patriots 29, Texans 21.
Okay.
Here's my thing looking at this game. The Texans defense, even with their injuries, are better equipped to limit New England's offense than New England's defense is to limit Houston's offense. And I think that's where it comes down to on Monday night. This is a preview of your AFC Championship game, which New England is going to lose at Houston because they're going to lose this game Monday night in Gillette.
Wow, just really dour outlook
wah,
there.
Wah, wah.
Does
that mean happy holidays.
Does that mean I can take my vacation now and just skip the rest of the season?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh.
I think I picked that in the paper, too. I think I picked Houston over Patriots in the AFC title game.
Oh, I'm going to take Houston, and the reason is Rob Gronkowski.
He hates the Patriots.
If he were fully healthy and playing in this game, I might think differently because I'm not sure that secondary, as banged up as it is, can handle the Patriots' options. But unlike Green Bay, who I thought had a lot of different options, Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson and James Jones, and I don't even know if Jennings played in that game, the Patriots don't have all those different options to sort of spread out Houston. That is the difference to me. I think Houston's offense will move the ball and score points in this game, 31-28 Texans.
If Stephen Ridley has over 24 carries and over 100 yards, Patriots win this game. I believe he will, and I'm picking the Patriots.
To cover?
Yeah.
What's yeah. That,
3.5?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm to cover.
You
all right.
Mentally prepared to lose, I assume?
I am.
Okay. I forgot to ask you earlier in the week.
That. I hate when he's mentally prepared to lose.
I am.
Well, at least he's going in with an open mind.
I am mentally
prepared. Freddie has been a new guy for like the last 2 years.
I am mentally prepared to lose this game.
But
I hate
you won't
that.
Have to worry about it because you're predicting the win.
That's correct.
Pound it down
all
their
right,
throats.
John Rook is sitting ready to go with the playbook. And John, what do you think about this game coming up?
Right now, I'm kind of favoring the Texans to cover the 3.5.
Okay.
He's from Texas.
Doesn't mean, however, that I think that the Patriots will lose the game. I think I'm picking about a 3-point game. I think this could come right down to the end.
Ooh.
Maybe even go over to overtime and someone kick it in the
Steven
overtime to win it.
Gostkowski, wow. Game-winning awesome. Field goal.
Nice.
Just questionable in that area right now.
That would be
now.
Nice.
Just
all
some
right.
thoughts.
Would that
I
be good?
I think it'll be close. Houston has
what?
Something to prove.
If they had to do that?
Yeah, would that, I mean,
agree,
would you
John.
Feel really yeah. good about that if
I
it came down to the wire?
I would absolutely feel
goes,
good. Yeah, why
better
not?
Better than if you just won by 7?
Oh, if he made it, you're saying?
Yeah, if
oh.
you came down, it would tie ball game.
How about
all
if,
right,
how
we
about,
set
how
it up, it's a 42-yarder.
That?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
You don't
is,
know if he's going to make it.
Yeah, how would you feel at that point, and would you feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
If he lines up for a 42-yard game winner with time expiring, are you going to say, I'm going to start putting myself away. We won this game?
Oh, not until he makes it. Hell no.
Okay, you answered the question.
Right, it's always better to evaluate the game after.
Once he makes it, I'll be happy with that outcome.
No, I know he'll be happy.
And not be disappointed that it wasn't.
Can't be. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to. Any win. This is a good game.
Right.
I'm not even going to watch. If that happens, I won't even watch. I'll be in the elevator waiting to talk about Gostkowski, about getting the game-winning monkey off his back.
You need to watch. Someone's going to have to tell me if it was wide left or right.
All right. That's it for our show.
See the negative tone he has? He assumes it's
missed.
Remember, a shot at me, not
Football Nation at 4 o'clock. Has Mike Tirico, so stay tuned for that at 4 o'clock.
Josh.
As for us, no pregame social until Monday.
Until the game day, because it's called the pregame
a
show.
A special Monday.
It comes on right before
pre-game
the game.
Social and
6 p.m.
Okay. See you next Tuesday.
Then we won't.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.